I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not. Call
1-800-FURNACE. HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. For the first time since 2019, the Ohio State men's basketball team's off to a 6-0 start. Basketball Buckeyes beat Mount St. Mary's 113-60 last night at the Shot. Junie Mobley led with 26 points. OSU will play at Pittsburgh Friday night at 7 o'clock. The Ohio State women's squad battles Belmont this afternoon at 1:30 in the Pink Flamingo Championship. You can hear that game from the Bahamas over on the Fan, too. That's 1460 on the AM dial with coverage at 1:15. In college football, Ohio State remains number one in the CFP Top 25. The playoff committee released their fourth rankings and bracket projection last night. Indiana still 2, Texas A&M 3, Georgia remains 4. We'll have one more projection before the final reveal. On the field, Ohio State's at Michigan Saturday at noon. Hear from OSU's head coach today at noon on the Ryan Day Radio Show. This update sponsored by Whiskey War by High Bank Distillery. Drink local, drink High Bank.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
Let's do it live on a First Friday America. Let me start that over again. Let's do it live on the First Friday Miracle edition of the program, as this is the Fist Friday to stop all First Fridays. This is Go Home from College First Friday. This is Go to the Townie Bar First Friday. This is all of those leading into a Thanksgiving weekend and the best weekend of football that we have on the calendar. You got all three levels are involved. Incredible games on the NFL side of things starting tomorrow, continuing into Friday. The high school football state semifinals on Friday. Of course, rivalry weekend in college football, and of course, all building to the game at noon on Saturday. We are appropriately loaded up. So no show for us tomorrow. So we'll have some of the elements that we normally have on a Thursday. We'll be here today. So the headliner obviously is the man, the myth, the legend, 7-0. Urban joins at 9:30. 10 o'clock, we will attempt to beat the house on the NFL picks. 10:20, we'll get you some over-unders on the college football playoff rankings that came out last night. Matt Fink is going to join us from our Buckeye at 10:30, 11:30 Shelley time. It is a Hey Guys First Friday. You can get that those questions into the fellas at 971BFS. That is at 11 o'clock. And then, of course, you're officially endorsed, which is the officially endorsed. I was thinking a little bit about this week and having Urban on and the fact that he's 7-0. This is a rivalry that in many ways is linked absolutely to the coaches who have coached in it. And that started with the 10-year war, I think, to a level that nobody had previously seen. There was always a dislike between the two that ratcheted up with Woody and Bo in the 10-year war. And if you look at the rivalry during that time, from 1968 to 1977, they played 7 games where both were ranked in the top. I'm sorry, seven games where they were both ranked in the top 5 in the country. Last time it happened between those two was 1977. It didn't happen again until 1997, where they were both ranked in the top 10 in the country. It happened twice under Tress, 06, 03 and 06. Both teams were ranked in the top 5 in the country. Since 16, so in the last decade, it's happened again another 5 times. You could argue, and I know it has not gone the way that we've wanted to the last 4, But you could argue that you are in the golden age of the rivalry, that what you have seen here over the last decade in terms of the consequence of the games is as big as what happened during Woody and Bo, the fabled 10-year war. Now, you've had different coaches for Michigan and Ohio State, Urban and Ryan, obviously, for us, and Harbaugh and Sharon for Michigan. But the fact that these teams have had this level of excellence from 2016 on, and if you go all the way back to 14, you're talking about three national championships between the two programs as well. So we are in the height of it right now, and I cannot imagine the opportunity that comes with coaching in this game and the responsibility that comes with coaching in this game. And I can't imagine what this week is like, shoehorning in Thanksgiving and trying to have some sort of normalcy there, all with this game looming. When you think of the coaches who have been in this one, and there's been a bunch of them on the Michigan side, bunch of them on the Ohio State side, varying levels of success kind of across the board. But it's one of those things that if you coach here or you coach up there, how you do in this game is going to be one of the things that defined your legacy. We're going to have Urban on in 24 minutes. What's the name of his restaurant? 7-0. You think it matters to him? Right? Guy's got three national championships. But he's got seven pair of gold pants. Did you see Ellen Trestle at the game last weekend? Nine pair of gold pants around her neck. It's a pretty good flex.
That is a flex. That's the all-time Ohio State flex.
It's a pretty good flex, boys.
Yesterday, when I left the station, I ran up the road to Barnes & Noble's, and I picked up Bill Rabinowitz's The Buckeye Brotherhood book.
Yeah.
And Urban Meyer wrote the foreword to that. And in the foreword, he talks about how he could never imagine losing that game, and he still has nightmares.
Yeah.
That he lost that game and how it makes him sick to his stomach. And he hasn't coached in the rivalry in, what, 7 years, 8 years yeah. now? And it's still waking him up in the middle of the night, giving him nightmares?
Think about, you know, like that stretch that we had with Tress and Herbs. Think how close so many of those games were. I mean, if Tyvis Powell doesn't jump in front of a two-point conversion, there's one.
Will Allen, interception, final play.
Will Allen, absolutely. Of course. Yeah, there's a million of them. I mean, think about the JT Barrett fourth down and then Curtis Samuel coming in and Urban just collapsing. Like, think about what you have into that game. You think of, whether it's Woody with the score of the game from 1969, the rug that they had to walk over to go into practice every day, a Michigan period every day, hearing that song, Urban blasting It's Time for War 24/7 at the facility. The common, I think one of the most curious things to me is, and I'll ask Urban this, how do you get a group of slightly less than 100 men, but really 40 or so who are really going to contribute? How do you get them razor sharp, but not sharpened too much to where the pressure breaks? That's the sweet spot. And Urban's probably the best. I got some stats with him in rivalry games that defy logic. Both of his, I mean, really the whole way through. Like, this is the one thing he did a lot. I mean, he beat everybody, but he really was dominant in rivalry games. How did you touch all the right buttons at the right time? How did you have your teams always ready to play their best in these games? And even if they didn't, survive them. They did. There's plenty of instances in this rivalry where either Ohio State was down or Michigan was down and it was lopsided. I mean, they've been playing, this would be the 121st time they've played. So there's been some of that. I mean, the early record for Michigan when, you know, is it even football at that point? But Michigan wins a ton of them at the beginning of the turn of the previous century. But really in the modern era, Ohio State has pretty much dominated the series. And you carry that with you. And it's funny, like a lot of you out there are either off today or you're working half days. And I'm sure that this is happening around town in your little communities where you go back to your local watering hole that you went to when you were young and you see old buddies and have family Thanksgiving tomorrow and all the things that make this such a great day and such a great the first Friday of the year. This is going to come up. You're going to have conversations with your buddies about, are 4-17 going to play? You're going to have conversations. Can Bryce Underwood handle what Ohio State is going to throw at him defensively? Has he seen anything quite like this? You're going to have conversations about, well, how will the elements affect Ohio State's passing game? Has Julian Sand, who's a Southern California kid, ever had to play extended duty in conditions like this? No, probably not. Probably hasn't. So all of those things are going to be discussed tonight, and that's what makes it all so special. That's what makes it so cool, is this thing has been going on for 120 years, and you can go 4-team playoff, 12-team playoff, 16-team playoff. I suppose there will come a time where they potentially could meet this weekend and next weekend. I mean, that's inevitable. It's going to come at some point. We haven't had it yet, thankfully, but it will come at some point. But I still think that this one is always going to have the same feels now as it had if you were a kid of the 90s or a kid of the 70s or 80s. I really do.
There might be a scenario, and I'll have to look in the break, where if Purdue gets Indiana and Washington gets Oregon, Ohio State wins Saturday, obviously, and then you play the game in Indianapolis.
I think it has to go the other way. I think Michigan has to.
Would Michigan have to win?
Yeah, Michigan has to win to get in.
But they would still have, like,
they'd pick up their second conference loss at that point, so they would be cooked.
They're out.
Yeah, so blasphemy, Reese, but the only way to do it is what we...
But if
everybody else loses and then, yeah.
Turn Bryce Underwood into what, $10.5 million promised,
yeah.
Yeah, these conversations start to get a lot more real than just that's nonsense because all of the underdogs would have to win.
Yeah, you're going to hear from Coach Day. His show comes up today, of course, no Thanksgiving edition. So the Ryan Day show will be today at noon. The line remains the same. Buckeyes by 9.5 in Ann Arbor against Michigan on Saturday. It is a big noon kick. And of course, you can listen to it right here on The Fan. Something about Big Daddy calling a game like this, it always gets you pretty jacked up. So you have that to look forward to. Coach Day had his Michigan Week presser yesterday. There was a tone to it, and I think you're going to be able to pick it out. We will get to that coming up next. Urban Meyer coming up in 18 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the Doorknob Fart Game. And we also play office basketball and sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, what's up? It's
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Love football, love wings. Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Bird live at Roosters.
Presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling.
Large amounts of football and all the donkey sauce you can handle. Mondays on The Fan's YouTube channel.
Hey, what's up? It's
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy skies for most of the day today and plunging temperatures down into the 30s by the afternoon, but gusty winds will make it feel like we are in the 20s. For tonight, mostly cloudy with lows in the 20s, but with those gusty winds continuing, our feels like could be in the teens in some spots. And for Thanksgiving Day, mostly cloudy, mainly dry with highs in the 30s, but breezy winds will make it feel like we're in the 20s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
It's finally here. Rivalry Week.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
We're talking about the Buckeyes and meat chicken all damn week. Join us, The Fan. Bo knows many people. He talks to the interesting ones on this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
Would you rather be the favorite in this game or the underdog? In other words, would you rather have the more talented team or the team with nothing to lose?
Talent. I'd still rather have the team of be the team of consequence.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have the team that's most talented.
There is a, it does seem that when they spring it, it's when they have nothing to lose. They did that a lot in the 90s. They've done that in recent years. Now, they've had a lot, everybody's had a lot to lose in the recent run of it, because everybody's been ranked in the top five in the country. I mean, it's crazy how many of these that we have had consistently when they've been. I mean, just since 2021, and unfortunately they've won them all, it was number two versus number five. In 2022, it was number three versus number two. In 2023, it was number two versus number three. So, like, this is where we've been for a while now. You got to go back a distance into the probably the, you know, when they were kind of wayward with their coaching searches and at the end of Tress and the beginning of Urban, where they really had no shot in this thing. But for the most part, since Harbaugh got there, and really Brady deserves some credit too, their talent started to get to a point where it could equate. Ohio State, by and large, has had the better team. There are a couple of those Michigan teams, including their team that won the national title, that was the better team. You're going to have the better team on Saturday. You're 9.5-point favorites. But there's so much more to it than that, right? And you're talking about 18 to 22-year-olds, and how do they handle the emotions of this week? And that is a challenge for not just them, but the people in charge of putting them in position to succeed. Ryan Day available yesterday for his Michigan Week press conference. Here are his thoughts on handling this week emotionally.
You have to play with emotion, but you can't let it play with you. And you have to learn to use it as nitrous, not as a primary fuel source. And I think that's where, you know, our guys have to continue to just focus on the process of how they prepare for games. And you know, they're going to have enough emotion when they get into the game. We don't need to incite any more of that during the week. They know how important this is. They know that this is our number one goal every year, to win this game. So that'll be our focus. And like you said, I mean, you start to get, you know, over emotional, then you can start to get distracted and get yourself out of whack and not do your job. So let's just focus on each individual guy, making sure that at the end of the day, they've graded out a champion and that their positions have graded out a champion.
I think it's fair to say from that answer right there that Ryan Day has seen the 80s classic action film Cobra, starring Sylvester Stallone as Marion Cabretti. Nitrous. He just dropped a nitrous, but not as a primary fuel source.
I was kind of
hoping Cabretti hits the nitrous, baby.
I was kind of hoping he'd say Too Fast, Too Furious.
I mean, it's
but pick your
either
action.
One.
Pick your action movie.
Well, he's closer to my age than yours, so yeah. I think I'm going Cobra.
You're probably right.
I'm going. He's seen Cobra.
You think?
Come on.
You think he's got like DVDs and a DVD player in his office, just at like
yeah, just
different times
this week?
Well, no, it's just like a time.
It'd be amazing if he was. Like, we got a good team. The plan is safe. I'm gonna go on a little 90s, 80s action movie marathon here. I'm gonna pound out Commando, Predator, Cobra, back to back.
That gets you ready. I mean, Joe
Tango
Mazzulla.
And Cash, who gets hurt?
Didn't he say he watches The Town before every game? It's like, yeah. it happens. But I just wonder, like, in a downtime, you're like, all right, let's flip on Commando. Who loses?
You guys are talking about that, and I'm hoping it's not the nitrous and Tommy Boy when it leaks.
That's true. But that's it, right? It is handling that. It's handling when things don't go your way. It's handling when the unexpected starts to happen. This is a challenging week. It's a challenging week because you build to this. There's a million distractions. You got a holiday in the middle of it. Hopefully at some point when we get this schedule sorted out, this thing goes back to last weekend. And this is kind of an off weekend, which would be kind of nice for everybody. Play Army Navy on Saturday. And that's about it. But there are challenges to it. Here was Ryan Day on the biggest challenges the week presents.
It's probably, you know, just making sure that, you know, you're keeping everybody locked in and focused on doing their job. I know, boy, that sounds really basic and bizarre, but you know, there's obviously a lot that comes with this. This game means a lot to a lot of people. Nobody more than the people in this building, but I think that's where, you know, you have to make sure that you're compartmentalizing all that and doing, you know, what you need to do to make sure you're ready to go play in the game and putting your guys in a situation to be successful. And then just getting rid of all the distractions. And get with your guys and get ready to go play a game. And that's really it. I think, you know, the rest of it is what you do all season long. You know, I don't think you all of a sudden just get yourself up and ready to play in this game. It's a preparation week after week after week after week to be at our best for this one right here. And so here we go. All the foundation's been set. It's time to go put it to work.
And for Ohio State to be at their best, many would argue that you're going to need to see 4-17 in this game. Jeremiah was on with Caleb Downs earlier in the week and said that he's certainly planning on playing. Carnell Tate has been much more ambiguous in terms of where he is. I'm not expecting a direct answer from Ryan on this, but he was asked, and here's was his answer to Jeremiah.
That's probably you know, something for the medical staff to figure, you know, and when they give us the thumbs up, you know, we'll go. But they'll be getting, you know, physical reps and mental reps all week in preparation. These guys have played a lot of football, so you know, in the end, you know, we'll look to the medical staff to give us the thumbs up or not. But they're going to do everything they can to get on that field.
It's such a different, and I believe him in that they are going to do whatever they can to get on the field. This is the one part where the rivalry is a little bit different, though, because in the old days, if you were banged up or you were nicked up, or God knows I've referenced the John Simon stuff a million times because it affected me so much watching what that kid did to get onto that game and being unable to. I cannot imagine it, seeing the tears streaming down his face, being unable to play in that game. But in those days, you would play this game and you wouldn't play again until January. In the old days, you had 6 weeks. You'd have a relatively major injury and you'd have 6 weeks to heal. The reality is that this is the Super Bowl and that beat Michigan is all that matters. But the reality is that when you do that, you then play the number two team in the country the following Saturday. And when you do that, you then will play in a college football playoff where if you are a top four seed and if you handle your business in those, obviously you'll be the number one overall seed. You still have got three games to play. So this is where the NFLization of college football with a 12-team playoff and college and conference championship games, which has been around for quite a while now, this is where all of that changes a little bit the calculus on how to handle injuries. And I do think that part is fair because, yes, your goals are beat Michigan, win the Big Ten, win a national championship. But as we found out last year, you don't necessarily have to do the first two to do the third. You want to do all of them. There's people who haven't hung a banner for a big, well, you don't hang banners for Big Ten championships around here. We're not Indiana, but there are people who don't have gold pants. There's people who don't have those things, but the ultimate goal is still out there of being back-to-back national champions. So I think my hunch is both of these guys play. Jeremiah told us he's going to play. My hunch is Carnell plays. Do you need them both to play? Who knows, man?
You don't want to find out.
But I'm with you, Reese. I don't want to find out.
I don't want that to be there. Like, well, if there had been more Carnell Tate, this game would have been in hand.
Yeah.
I do think, because they've said it, the season starts in December. I mean, you had the game on August 30th, and then you kind of had exhibitions through September, through October, and most of November. Now, obviously, the 29th, 2 days before December actually starts. But this is the season that they train for. This is the season that they practice for. This is the season that they play for with actual consequence. And Jeremiah's playing because he told Caleb Downs as much. And I got to talk to, I guess, figure out who Caleb's producer is because maybe you should have gotten Carnell Tate on too. Like, had them both.
Get them both.
Ask them both that same question.
Easy. One at a time.
But
here.
If the Carnell thing is still kind of lingering, a pitch count against Michigan to make sure that he's extra ready for the college football playoff probably isn't the worst thing in the world. At least he's out there in a uniform and contributing to a game against Michigan.
Yeah.
I would say that while you don't need Carnell and Jeremiah against Michigan, you want to have them both, you will need them to make a run for another college football playoff national championship.
Yeah. So that's the balancing act that they're trying to figure out this week. And because it's college football and not the NFL, you've got a lot of ambiguity with injury. Like, you don't have to declare anybody. You don't have to do those things. We saw that with Amalieva a couple of weeks ago in the UCLA game where it popped up in the middle of the night. And you woke up Saturday morning and he's not playing. So that's the way college football is at the moment. My hunch is it changes in the future on that side of things. But whether they are there or not, Scarlet and Gray is going to clash with Maize and Blue on Saturday. And a man who never lost this game is going to join us in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends, right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, here's what's up. This man's one of the greatest coaches in the history of college football. He's a three-time national champion. He's 7-0 against Michigan. He is on Big Noon Kick, and he joins us now on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Coach Urban Meyer joining us. Coach, thank you so much for the time. I want to go way back for you as a kid who grew up in this state. What are your first recollections of Ohio State, Michigan?
Oh, very clear memories of it. Obviously, it was a 10-year war. I grew up, I was 6 years old when, or five, maybe five, 6 years old when the Wolverines hired some guy named Bo Schembechler to kind of get this rivalry right, Woody Hayes' protege. So I remember that very well. I remember Ohio State winning a national championship in 68 and then the big upset and then just a street fight for the next 10 years. And then I remember Earl Bruce. So I really remember everything. I'm one of those guys that mm-hmm. I just, from the day I could say Buckeye, I understood this rivalry and I lived it.
What does 7-0 mean to you?
Boy, I've had, now that it, you know, I'm done coaching and I kind of look mm-hmm. back on it now. And I mean, you can say the national championships mean more, but I've been asked that question. I think 7-0 might be my greatest memory of my career is because of the respect I always say this, the respect I have for that other school, the respect I have for my great state. And I really honestly don't know what I would have done if we'd lost some of those games. That's how much, you know, we put into that game. And, you know, that's how much that game means to me. And I know so many.
I remember some of them, Coach, being on the sidelines towards the end of some of those games and certainly the game up there in 13 or Curtis Samuel walking it off in overtime. And there has to be almost a physical collapse. And in some instances you physically did because of how much was wound into it.
Yeah. I didn't realize I went down in 16 until after the game. Someone told me, I mean, it's one of those moments that you can't bottle that. You can't even, I'm trying to think of the word that tries to put you in that scenario where all is on the line. You know, when Brady Hoke went for two, which was the right call mm-hmm. in the 2013 game. And we called timeout right before they snapped that ball. And I thought they would change it, but they kept the same. I don't know if it was the same exact play, but it looked like it. And we called the defense. Kerry Combs and them made the perfect call. So. Yeah, I mean, if you can bottle that, I'm not sure people would want to get near it.
It's not just this one, though, and this is the next thing that I think is really interesting. So going all the way back to Bowling Green, Utah, Florida. At Bowling Green, you got to beat Toledo. Utah, you got to beat BYU. At Florida, you really got to beat Tennessee, Georgia, and Florida State. And then here, you got to beat Michigan. In those games, Coach, you are a combined 26-3. How did you have your team 10 feet tall and bulletproof, but not have the pressure so much that it broke them? What was your secret to rivalry games? How did you have so much success in them?
Well, they became year-round, year-round challenges. You know, I know how much the game meant to me, and I tried to make that, you know, permeate through the team. And however you did that, we did, you know, if there's a documentary, I made them watch it, you know. If there was, we would work in January, February, March, and then spring practice is well documented. We had team up north periods. We did the same thing when I was at Utah. We had team down south periods and mm-hmm. school out west that was Tallahassee at Florida. So we just put so much emphasis on those games, and I wanted our players to live it like I felt it. I mean, I woke up every day with a clear understanding we had to beat that team, and I wanted, more importantly than me, the players.
What is it like up there, and this one will be up there on Saturday, and you think about the times that you walk out of that tunnel, and they have that tunnel, of course, where both teams come out of that same tunnel. The emotion when you walk out of that tunnel, and then from your perspective, the emotion of walking into that tunnel with that stadium silent or with the OHIO echoing around it.
Yeah, again, it's one of those moments when you're coaching, it's horrific, awful, whatever words you want to use. Now I kind of look back and think, damn, that was unbelievable. You know, I got some pictures of people spitting on me and throwing things at me. And as you come down that tunnel, I still get it a little bit at Big Noon, but not near to the same degree. But, you know, when I can't remember a couple times we heard the OHIO echoing through the big house, and that was one of those moments that you just wish you could freeze in time. So a lot of respect for that place, a lot of respect. You know, the minute someone says, well, we're double digit favorite, I know what Coach Day's saying, and those better mm-hmm. players, the players need to know on the other side, those are great players, are going to play their best. You better be ready.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, this is truly a throw-the-records-out situation. Both these teams have been really good in the last decade, and they both won national championships and all of that. As we turn our attention to the game this year, Coach, as you've gotten your view of this Buckeye team over the course of the season several times on Big Noon, it's an awfully talented group. Their defense is as good as any in the country. What are just some of your impressions of the way that Ryan Day has brought this team along this year?
Yeah, I spoke to Coach Patricia a couple of times last few weeks, just trying for TV to get some good stuff for the fan to look at, and I really studied this defense. And, you know, the concern is they've not faced the elite offenses yet. I keep hearing that, but that doesn't matter. That's on their schedule, and they've done it. You know, you went out to Washington and faced a talented quarterback and shut him down. You faced Arch Manning, shut him down. So, facing a young Bryce Underwood, you know, I'm going to make this comment on TV, is that if I'm that coach at the Wolverines, I'm not putting that kid in third and long, and I'm trying to shorten this game and run him and move the chains and get first downs, because you drop back to pass against this defense, there's a variety of things that can happen. Two of them are really, really bad, and that's sacks and turnovers. And that's when games get out of hand fast. So it's great as an offensive coach. You know, I think, you know, going into a game, if you score the ball two or three, if you score the three times, you win the game, and you can find ways to score three times.
Coach, there's not a whole lot of secret to this in college football. Like, if you have a lot of talent, you're going to have a lot of success. And I wanted to ask you about kind of that triumvirate that Ohio State has defensively with Arvell and Sonny at the linebackers, who both, I mean, those guys are so versatile. They can play so many different ways. And then Caleb Downs on the back end, who is kind of an eraser. And to me, they feel like they are kind of perfect for dealing with somebody like Bryce Underwood. It's not just their athleticism and talent, but it's their acumen. They're such intelligent players. What have you seen from that group, and how do they compare to some of the great ones that you've coached through the years?
Yeah, I did this on TV the other day, or I think a month or so ago, is that on offense, you're always looking for indicators, and indicators are position-specific. You know, if Caleb Downs is here, this is what they're doing. If Arvell Reese is here, this is what they're doing. And there aren't any. You know, and obviously Matt Patricia is a unique skill set. He's been an OC, a DC, and a general manager in the NFL. I love the guy. I've been friends with him a long time. And when you have skill set and intellect to go with the skill set, and, you know, I did that with the Percy Harvins, you know, and on offense, mm-hmm. when you can teach multiple positions, that drives the other side nuts, because the term indicators go out the window.
Yeah, and there's no indicators with those three. Julian Sain is going to make his first start in this game. He's a Southern California kid. I'm not sure if he's ever, I know he's never played in a game like this, and certainly never played meaningful snaps in a game that's potentially going to have the weather conditions that we're going to have on Saturday. How would you manage a young quarterback, and how did you manage young quarterbacks in games like this, especially on the road?
Well, go back to Texas, and I think Ryan Day and Brian Hartline put on a master class on how to handle a young quarterback. It would be a whole different deal if you have to score 40 points. I mean, a whole mindset, practice, game plan, everything. You don't. You know, I don't see that happening. So I think I would manage it. I would let him play exactly like he did against Texas, and that's move the ball, get first downs. And I'd read his eyes. You know, I would always say that. I'd call the quarterback over, and you can tell what's going on in that player's mind. If he's got the big eyes, you know, I'm handing that ball off and I'm doing things, you know. But if he's got a little swagger to him and the cold's not impacting him, and you got to feel what they're doing on defense, I let him play. But I certainly early in the game, I'd do exactly what they did against Texas.
Yeah, he's so efficient, so accurate, and I think better than a lot of people thought he would be around here right away. I thought the Texas game is a masterclass. Coach, I'll get you out of here on this one. Where are your 7 gold pants?
Oh, they're about 15 feet from me in my house in Sarasota. And my builder surprised me and built like a glass in wall. So you got the rings and the gold pants right there. So, yeah. And by the way, there's an alarm on it. You can't touch them.
I love that, man. I love it. Coach, thank you so much for your time. You're good at everything. You're great at television, and you guys are kicking it on Big Noon in a big way, and look forward to the broadcast on Saturday leading into the game. Thank you so much for your time, Coach, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Thank you, brother. Bye.
All right, there he goes. Urban Meyer, 7-0 against that team up north. That stat I gave you guys on that I asked Coach about is the one that is pretty remarkable. I don't know that there's another coach in the history of the sport. I'd have to check Saban, like going all the way back to Toledo, to find a coach who went 26-3 in rivalry games. 26-3. At Florida, he was 16-2, 7-0 here in rivalry games. He just got it, and his teams got it, and they won him in a big, big way. It was a real treat having him on, of course, as it always is. Urban has some thoughts on the game that we're going to share for you coming up next. We'll take a look at the Buckeye basketball team getting a win last night and a busy sports weekend ahead that's coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Wake up with The Fan. Eat lunch with The Fan. Go to bed with The Fan. Dream about The Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan.
You don't have to.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube, along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Ohio Heating and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
It's always great getting to talk to Urban, and such a unique perspective. That stat I gave defies all logic. To go 26-3 in rivalry games is just crazy as a head coach to be able to do it. But the thing that Urban did, and this is what made him great. It's probably why, and he's admitted this, it's probably why the candle would blow out sometimes, because of how tight he kept it wound, compete all the time. Like, it's not something that's sustainable over 25 years at one place. But he was a candle that burned brighter than any, and that rivalry record's unbelievable. I think the one thing that you'd want to be if you were in those spots, and I think if you listen to that interview we just did with Urban, he is honest to himself in it. And I think that's the key to having success in this, right? Some of it's just dumb luck. Like, crazy things happen in a game. Just sometimes it just is. Sometimes one team's just way better than the other. Sometimes that happens. But it's usually, and even in Urban's cases, the game in 16 where with JT Barrett on fourth down and then Curtis Samuel walking off, which had to be the loudest Ohio Stadium's ever been, or the game that Tyvus jumped in front of the 2-point conversion after they called the timeout. I mean, those things go another way. You know, the 5-2 restaurant doesn't sound as good as a 7-0. So it's just those small margins that define it. And it doesn't surprise me at all, knowing Urban the way that I do. It doesn't surprise me at all that 7-0 means more than three national titles. It doesn't. I mean, his first memories are of this rivalry. I mean, think about that with him and Tress, that we were blessed to have coaches who have been born and raised here, who grew up around it. And I think Ryan's done an incredible job of indoctrinating himself in it. Now, the results the last haven't gone the way that he wanted, but he can change all of that Saturday. It all goes away. You win Saturday. You're right back. And so that's the thing that's so crazy about this game is, it, to me, coaches have to be honest to who they are and who their teams are. And you don't change who you are for this game. I did think it was interesting that Urban said his approach to this game on Saturday would be very similar to the Texas approach. That eliminates your margin for error if you go that way. I mean, that's playing in a sandbox a little bit.
And I've heard him talk on Big Noon Kick, you know, about Ohio State's defense and how you have to score three touchdowns on them. And I think, to your point about him being, you know, true to himself, it's kind of been the same song he's sung all season.
Yeah.
About this Ohio State defense, that you have that ability, or you should have confidence in your ability to keep your offensive game plan pretty simple.
Yeah.
Because that defense is 7.5 points a game. And you're going to absolutely score more than that, even if you're simple for Ohio State's offense. and good luck Michigan, who doesn't have the most dynamic offense Ohio State will face this season.
Yeah, no, they don't.
It'll be, see, this is where it's different than a game, because I sit there and I say it from a logical standpoint, Michigan's offense and Ohio State's defense, and I go, that was dumb. Because
it doesn't make sense.
Last year it didn't make sense. Like, that was a worse Michigan offense. And you only needed 13 points, and you made it four in a row.
That's the thing that gets me a little nervy when I think about, you know, play conservative. But, you know, you think about it, and if you're looking for, like, and we'll get into some of this, much more of this breakdown on Friday when we're more into the X's and O's and the offense-defense matchups and all of it. But if you're looking for warts on this Buckeye team, they're very difficult to find. There really aren't any. They've kind of handled their business and dominated everybody, but it's probably short red zone stuff. That's probably it. They have been stopped on fourth down inside the five several times this season, but against lesser competition than this Michigan team that we're going to see on Saturday, certainly defensively. And I do think that this Saturday will be a bit of a points accumulated game. Like, I wouldn't want to go into the red zone and not score. Mm-hmm. I know that you got to get sevens over threes. But I do think that, and I know that they're going to say it's more valuable to get the sevens. You back them up, you flip field. But there's an emotional component that the defense gets when it stops you on fourth down inside the five. And there's a energy that reverberates through the stadium when that happens as well, versus just kicking the three.
And we're also talking about this defense.
Yes.
3 points matters with this defense, because we're talking about a defense that hasn't given up more than 13, except for twice this year, in a defense that we're like, I don't, how can Michigan score twice on them? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So 3 points matter when you have a defense like this. I think it makes sense in a way with these coaches, especially for this Ohio State team, when you have a defense like this. And, you know, Julian Sain was making his first start against Texas.
Mm-hmm.
This is his first start in the rivalry game on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, well, we want to kind of play it close to the vest here. You're always thinking as a football coach, if you win the turnover margin, so don't let the young quarterback turn the ball over, even though Julian hasn't turned the ball over much this year. I think it makes sense for football guys and coaches to think that way. We sit back and we look, this is an offensive Ferrari, especially if 4 and 17 are in there. Go put points on the board, because if Ohio State, I'm pretty confident in saying this, if Ohio State gets to 21 points in this game, they are winning the damn game.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't see any scenario where Ohio State has 21 on the board and they don't win.
No, no. If you're curious about how redshirt freshman quarterbacks playing games up there do in their first time up there under Ryan Day, there's one who is also a five-star, just like Julian, who probably up until that point hadn't played a game in too much of inclement weather. And I can't remember the exact temperature of this game. In 2019, Justin Fields, as a redshirt freshman, went 14-25 for 302 and 4 scores in the game. Beat him 56-27. So that type of dominance, that type of approach, I think Julian's capable of that. Now, I do think the wide receiver situation is something that you just have to monitor, obviously. Like, what does all of that look like? They also had J.K. Dobbins, who ran for 211 and 4 scores in that game, too. So that's the type of, I don't think you have to hide Julian. I think just let the kid live. I mean, he's one of the front runners for the Heisman. He's completing 80% of his passes. He's allergic to inaccuracy. I'd let him go a little bit. But I also understand the notion from Urban of play it tight, get first to 21, and we'll see on down the road. And I do think this is going to be one where get points every time you go to the red zone, and you're going to feel very, very good about yourself by the time it goes final. Couple of things in the sports world popping around. The Buckeye basketball team improved to 6-0 for the first time since 1920. They actually got to 9-0 that year. Beat Mount St. Mary yesterday. Junie Mobley with 26 in that one. They will play at Pittsburgh on Friday. So that'll give you a little better, another little bit of a test. They had the test against Notre Dame. You get another one Friday, and then it gets, then it really amps up in terms of the schedule.
If Ohio State basketball wants to get where they want to get to this year, that's the Junie Mobley you are going to have, in my opinion. You need that from him to be a team that gets in the tournament and could possibly make the second weekend and beyond in the tournament. You need that guy.
Yeah, I don't know if you need 26.
Yeah, I was just about to say it.
You need threes being knocked down.
But you need him being the leader.
A really good player.
Being the driver of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I don't know. You think over Bruce?
I do.
I do too.
Because there's some limitations to Bruce, and I love Bruce. He's a really, really good player. But we've seen what this team is with Bruce as the best player. We need that Junie. We need him driving the ship.
I think the five Buckeyes in double figures is key. I think Devin Royal having 17 points, four assists is huge. Because I think he, for this team, I think to ascend, you've got to have Junie as your engine. But you've also got to have Devin serving as kind of your 1A, 1B. And then you can have Bruce. And obviously, Christoph Tilly will be great. I'm really, really excited to see what Tilly does against some of the more true bigs in the Big Ten. But there's a lot to like from last night that you can, again, Mount St. Mary's bad. They're 1-6, but tournament team last year. But you can, I think, look at some stuff from yesterday and say, all right, at 6-0, you go to Pittsburgh, and then you have like Northwestern, and then it's another Big Ten team. And then I think you got North Carolina.
Yeah.
So life will come at you fast.
And Tilly didn't play in the second half last night. Jake afterwards said that was just kind of precautionary.
Yeah, no reason.
So,
all right. Well, again, a little bit of a compressed week this week, so we're going to beat the house coming up next. That will be followed by a little bit of higher or lower, and then Matt Finkus will join us coming up at 10:30. That is your second hour of the program, and it's up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
It's Rivalry Week, and dare I say, the most rivalist one ever. Me Talk Pretty.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Casting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The Ohio State men's basketball team is off to a 6-0 start for the first time since the 2019-2020 season. Buckeyes beat Mount St. Mary's last night 113-60 at the shot. OSU plays at Pittsburgh Friday night at 7 o'clock. The Ohio State women's squad plays number 21 West Virginia today at 1:30 in the Pink Flamingo Championship down in the Bahamas. Tyler Danberg will have the call over on the Fan, too. That's 1460 on the AM dial this afternoon at 1:15. In college football, number 1 Ohio State's at number 15 Michigan Saturday at noon. Wolverines have won the last four in the series. Hear from Ohio State's head coach today at noon on the Ryan Day Radio Show. And the Blue Jackets host the Maple Leafs tonight at 7. Hear it on the Fan with coverage at 6:30. This update's sponsored by Roosters. For every $50 you spend in Roosters gift cards this holiday season, you'll receive a $10 Roosters bonus buck. Get them at Roosters locations or online at roosterswings.com.
Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast, or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Normally, we hit this on a Thursday, but we will be forced to suck down turkey tomorrow at this time. Well, not this time. When do you guys do? When is your sweet spot for turkey dinner?
We're doing it at 3 o'clock tomorrow, but no turkey this year. Doing a chicken.
Oh, thank God. What a wise move out of you. Bake, when is your...
I think the best time is usually in the afternoon, sometime between 1 and 3, so then you can go back and get some dinner, too. I'm not a turkey hater like you, Bo. I actually enjoy some turkey. So.
Sure you do. I'm sure you order it every time you go to a restaurant. I'm a 1 o'clock. I think 1 o'clock's a I want to be 1 or 2, get that plate, watch the Lions, and then I want to have the digestion process hitting by the time I'm into Dallas in the late game. And the late game's good. So because of that, we're going to attempt to beat the house now. Hit it, fellas.
Beat the house.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Visit their Grandview, Gahanna, and Westerville locations to experience the best in craft dining and distilling. Learn more at highbankco.com.
I'm very impressed with you guys bouncing back last week. Both of you guys with 9-5 weeks. So very good. Bo, you are now 94-84 on the season. Reese, you are 82-96. I've always loved Thanksgiving Day football. I love the tradition of the Lions and the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And I love that you get the main guys. Although you don't tomorrow night, Collinsworth isn't going to be with Tirico. That's going to be Jason Garrett. But let's kick it off. 1 p.m., the Green Bay Packers in Detroit to face the Lions. Burkhart and Brady on the call. 2.5-point favorites are the home team.
Yeah, Detroit's been a weird team to figure out this year. They're not what they were a year ago in terms of dominance. We'll see if it actually works for them in the long run. But the fact that I've only got to give 2.5, I'm basically just saying I like Detroit to win. So I do like them to win. I do think they take care of business on Turkey Day. So give me the Lions. And I hope they wear the Barry throwbacks in these, by the way.
That'd be great.
Just make those the permanent ones, but like the Thanksgiving ones. Those should be the special throwbacks. Yeah, I like the Lions. Again, got to do a field goal. I think they'll do that on Thanksgiving. This will be a close one. This will be a fun one and a good way to start your Turkey Day, I guess, after the parade.
I think this is a fun one, too, a real fun one, and it means a lot to both of these teams. The Kansas City Chiefs head to Texas to take on the Dallas Cowboys. Nance and Romo on the call. The Chiefs are the away favorites, Dallas home dogs, 3 points.
I do like the Wizard going into Dallas and ruining Thanksgiving Day for the Cowboys, coming off that high, beating the Philadelphia Eagles last week. Give me KC in the three here.
Yeah, I think this has a chance to be the highest rated regular season NFL game of all time. Last week, Kansas City did like 22 million in the 1 o'clock window. I think this could be well into the 30s, 40. I mean, it's going to be massive. I'm with you though, Reese. I just don't think Jerry can have too many nice things. So he got his big comeback on Sunday, and I think he gets his comeuppance on Thursday. I like the Wizard going in there and winning as well.
Post Malone, the halftime act.
All right.
Tomorrow night on NBC, we already said Tirico and Garrett on the call. Joe Burrow makes his return as the Bengals head to Baltimore to face Lamar and the Ravens. The Ravens are the favorites at home. No hooks again this week, guys. 7 points.
I know. They heard us complaining about it, I'm convinced. It's been the last 2 weeks where we've had hole numbers after a whole first part of the season where we had none. I like Baltimore to win this game, but I think Cincinnati is frisky with Burrow, and I think they play hard, and I think they score. Baltimore's not the Baltimore of old, so I think this is a really competitive game. Baltimore wins at something like 27-24, something like that, but that's well within the numbers. Give me the Bengals to cover.
Yeah, I like the Bengals to cover in this one as well. It's Burrow's that tide that raises all boats. And while he won't be tackling because he won't be playing defense, I think the Ravens have enough problems offensively that this is a lot of fun, but Baltimore wins in the end. Bengals covered.
So you guys are in lockstep with each other through Thanksgiving. Let's head to Black Friday, 3 p.m. The Bears in Philly taking on the Eagles. This is an Amazon Prime with Alan Kirk. The Eagles, the home favorite, 7 points their lane.
Yeah, give me Chicago to cover. I think Philadelphia wins close. They don't blow another 21-point lead, but the Bears are 8-3, and I think they're legit. Philadelphia wins, however, on Friday.
This is one of those ones where I go, all right, one team's 8-3. The other one just gave up a 21-point lead, and they're favored by 7? Like, why is this not 4.5, 5.5? It's a full 7. Champions prerogative. Eagles cover the 7 at home on Black Friday.
Yeah! Sunday, 1 o'clock, the San Francisco 49ers in Cleveland to take on the Browns and Shador Sanders. This is a CBS game. The 49ers are the road favorite, 4.5 points.
Did you see that Myles Garrett is apparently dating Chloe Kim?
I did not.
The gold medalist snowboarder?
I was going to say, is it bad that I don't know who Chloe Kim is?
Yeah, she won the gold medals in the snowboard. I mean, he had his arm around her. He kissed her before the game in Vegas. I didn't know that. I feel like I should know these things. I think the Browns defense in what is going to be a god-awful weather conditions game on Sunday, like less than 40, rainy, sleet, snowy mess. I think the Browns defense is really tough to handle in that. I think I could see San Francisco winning this game, but I think it's really gross and really tight, something like 13-10. As long as Shador doesn't throw it to him, which I don't think he will, I think they got a chance in this one. So I like the Browns to cover the 4.5.
Was it 2 years ago when the Browns played the 49ers and nobody, and The Rock means nobody, thought Cleveland was going to win that game, and the Browns did. They're not going to win Sunday, but I think Cleveland covers the 4.5. Yeah, this is CBS, but not my boy Spear on Adam.
No. No. And isn't that was a P.J. Walker quarterback.
That's what I was
game.
Just going to say. Wasn't that P.J. Walker?
Sure. Yeah.
Let's go.
Sure.
20-17, I think, the final. The Browns mm-hmm. win. Jacksonville in Tennessee to take on the Titans. The Titans are the home dog, 6.5 points. There's your guys, Spiro and Adam.
It's not bad to spend Thanksgiving or the Thanksgiving weekend in Nashville.
Is this you, Reese?
Tennessee plus the 6.5.
Jacksonville. You know what Bill Simmons said this week about Trevor Lawrence that I can't shake? Trevor Lawrence is Jameis Winston.
He doesn't throw for as many yards, does he?
No, but I mean, the touchdown interceptions is similar. Like, it's just kind of a weird one. Yeah, I like the 6.5, too. I think I'm going to go Tennessee to cover the 6.5 as well. I'm with you on this one, Reese.
Man, you guys thinking the same way this week.
Could be scary.
The Texans are in Indy to face the Colts, who are a favorite at home, 4.5 points.
Texans are on a heater. They've won 4 out of 5. Their defense is absolutely elite. Indy's wobbling a little bit. It just kind of feels ripe that Indy bounces back. They had the largest margin. I like Indy winning this one by 7. I'll throw the 4.5.
I like the Colts to win this, but you're getting CJ back for the Texans. The defense that you mentioned, I think, keeps this game closer. Home team still wins, but give me the road team to cover the 4.5.
There we go. We've got a difference. Yes. The Atlanta Falcons in New York to face the Jets. Ugh, this game is gross. It's on Fox. The Falcons, 2.5-point favorites.
Yeah, if you're betting it, call the hotline. Give me the Falcons here.
Yeah, same. Falcons cover.
The New Orleans Saints. Oh, my gosh, another gross one. New Orleans Saints.
All the good games are on Thanksgiving,
yeah,
Black
Sunday
Friday, and at night.
You cannot have to watch.
New Orleans
These are bad.
At Miami. Miami 6-point home favorites.
I have no earthly clue. I mean, this is brutal. I just don't know that Miami should be favored by 6 over anybody. So somehow, some way, Saints make it close. Give me them, and I'll take the 6.
Give me the home team here.
The Arizona Cardinals head east to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Baker with that shoulder injury. No clue if he's playing or not yet. -3.5, though, are the Buccaneers at home.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Cardinals plus the 3.5.
Yeah, same. Bake's been really struggling the last 6 weeks or so, even before the injury. And I think Arizona's a little frisky with Brissett, so I like Arizona to cover as well.
Gosh, the Bo Bishop Bowl coming up next. The Los Angeles Rams, 10.5-point favorites on the road against the best team in the history of the world, the Carolina Panthers.
I don't know who this is. Is this you?
I think it's you, buddy.
Okay. Yep. Yeah,
right?
I think it's you, Bo.
Oh, it's me. My yep. fault. Look, who could ever pick against Carolina? Who could ever do it? I mean, like, this line should be Carolina -62, quite honestly. But it's not. And it's really big. So somebody knows something. Ram it. Covers the 10.5.
Yeah, this might be belt to ass. Stafford, I think, continues his MVP campaign. Carolina picked Brock Purdy off 3 times in the first half, and they still trailed. What was it, 10 points?
They did, yeah.
These idiots.
We switch to the 4:05 games on Sunday. The Minnesota Vikings are at the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle given a big number at home, 10.5.
Is that because J.J. McCarthy's not playing? Did I see that right?
Might be. If he was playing, it might be 13.5.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Give me Seattle here. Yeah, this is another belt to ass game.
Seattle's great. Minnesota is not. Can you imagine me and Justin Jefferson and looking at Sam Darnold throw to Jackson Smith and Jigba and going like that? But that's me.
It's the Squidward.
Why can't
meme.
I do that?
Yep. It's the Leonardo DiCaprio point. Yeah. Hey. 4:25. The Bills and the Steelers in Pittsburgh. The Bills 3.5-point favorites on the road.
Bill's a weird team, right? Weird team. I think that's the hook that brings me back. I like the Steelers to cover the 3.5.
Yeah, something's up with Buffalo, and I think it's more than just Josh Allen. Give me the Steelers to win.
Not Sunday Night Football yet. Sure. The Las Vegas Raiders taking on the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers favored by 9.5 at home.
I can't do it as loud as I'd like to because I only get one pot on this side.
Hold on. Here you go.
Hell yeah, brother.
I don't know how Geno Smith is going to stay upright. I have a lot of respect for him for getting up time and time again. He got sacked 10 times. Like, come on. I'm with you. I like the Chargers big in this one.
Now we go to Sunday Night Football. The Denver Broncos in the nation's capital facing the Commanders. Home dogs are the Commanders by 6.5.
And I think Jaden's going to play in this one. It's kind of where we're trending. I would want to know that. I mean, we're picking this on first Friday, for God's sakes, not the actual Friday. So provided Jaden plays, I think Washington keeps it close, and I think it's within the 6.5, so I'll take the points.
Yeah, I don't see the Broncos beating them by a touchdown. They win the game, Commanders cover.
We had a lot of similarities, Reese.
Yeah, a lot.
Monday, the exact same last week. I don't know if our games were the same, but the record was.
Right, that's true.
We've got a Monday night or two. That's way far off, though, but it's the Giants at the Patriots. The Patriots right now, 7.5-point favorites. Of course, we will pick that after the holiday.
It's funny. It's pretty interesting how everything is. You're not going to be waiting all day for Sunday night or Monday night. Or really the 1 o'clock window. Like everything's prime time early in the week. All the good stuff is tomorrow and Friday, really. That's kind of the way it'll all shake out. We'll do a little higher or lower. Latest college football rankings were out. We'll do that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This is Jeff.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Buckeyes hit the road for a matchup with Dan Marino and the Pitt Panthers.
Live fan coverage starts Friday night at 6 p.m. right after Common Man and Timmy with the Tip at 7.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy skies for most of the day today and plunging temperatures down into the 30s by the afternoon, but gusty winds will make it feel like we are in the 20s. For tonight, mostly cloudy with lows in the 20s, but with those gusty winds continuing, our feels like could be in the teens in some spots. And for Thanksgiving Day, mostly cloudy, mainly dry with highs in the 30s, but breezy winds will make it feel like we're in the 20s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
It's finally here. Rivalry Week.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
We're talking about the Buckeyes and meat chicken all damn week. Join us, The Fan. The uncle you never knew you had. The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and we are proudly brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. Go check them out for the holiday season. They will take care of you, I assure you of that. Time for a little higher or lower. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present Higher or Lower.
Sponsored by the Waterworks. Call the Waterworks and Header Heating and Cooling today at 614-232-2222 or visit online at thewaterworks.com.
The College Football Playoff Committee released their fourth top 25 and fourth bracket projection, I should say, last night. Was unchanged with the top five from this week to last week. Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Georgia, and Texas Tech. The one change in the top 10 this week was Oregon jumps Ole Miss. The Ducks are at 6. The Rebels are at 7. Higher or lower for Ole Miss at 7.
Okay, a couple of things jump out to me when I look at this top 7. Number one, the committee is clearly not interested in making a television show every Tuesday night. Like, they're really not giving them much to work with. Like, none of this matters. They could just arbitrarily move guys in the top five just for the sake of it. Oh, I really like the way that Texas Tech looked against whoever they played last week. So we put them ahead of Georgia this week. Georgia wasn't that impressive against Samford. I mean, they could do any of that if they wanted to, and they're just not. They're not doing any of it. They just kept the top five the same. So the Oregon one is interesting to me because the bump that they got for beating USC. So, and they only dropped USC two spots, which I thought is appropriate. I think USC is about right there. Right? They're later in this poll. I think they're 17. And to me, that's about where USC should be. I think the College Football Playoff Committee has given more respect to the Big Ten than the AP and the coaches poll have. So I like them being ranked where they are. I'm cool with it. Here's the thing that's going to start to get interesting for both of these teams. Oregon has a decent data point still on their schedule. They go to Washington in a big-time rivalry game for those two teams. Washington's a little tricky. Ole Miss has the Egg Bowl. What I'm curious about with Ole Miss is what happens after that game goes final if Lane Kiffin says, yeah, I'm taking my talents to Baton Rouge. Will Ole Miss be judged the way Florida State was judged without their quarterback? Say they're a different team. That is an absolute mess for this committee. So I'm wondering if this moving of Oregon ahead of Ole Miss, by the way, I think Oregon is better than Ole Miss. I think Oregon's better than Texas Tech, too. I think Oregon might be better than Texas A&M, especially when they're healthy and at wide receiver. That's something I'm watching for, is how do they manage Ole Miss if Kiffin leaves?
They're definitely not making TV shows, Bo, because you had to wait 40 minutes last night for right. Rhode Island and BYU or USC and someone. I don't know, whoever that basketball game was. It was USC and someone to be wrapped up before you could even go on. We did the YouTube special, and I had to listen to Tito for 40 minutes.
Good Lord.
Filling time. So
can you imagine, like you wanted me to join that, can you imagine a worse thing for me than having to sit there and listen to him for 40 minutes?
I mean, maybe eating turkey tomorrow. I'm not sure, but
I don't hate it. Like, it's fine. I'll eat it. They're just it's just an inferior bird. Save me some of the dark meat. I tell you what, if you just get me the leg, just give me one leg, and I'm good. I don't need anything else. I do like the leg.
Turkey legging it like a Viking, just ripping it.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
So they're not interested in making TV shows because they're just fitting this in between basketball games. I think it is interesting with Ole Miss. That kind of, for them, they drop and they don't even play. And we talked about that last night. What if Kiffin wins and then leaves? How do they handle it? It's going to be very, very interesting. Bo, I think your point on Texas A&M is very good because it's very easy, and they probably should right now be at three. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to have them at three as they are undefeated. But outside of that Notre Dame win, they don't have a lot of impressive wins on their schedule.
No.
And I'm not so sure, like you said, Oregon wouldn't beat them. And wouldn't beat them in a series, quite frankly. So I think that's very interesting. I think what happens with Texas and Texas A&M this week could throw this all into a fit because they do love Texas. If Texas wins that game, I think that and Kiffin are two things to watch here that are going to be really fun. I think Ole Miss is appropriate at 7. You can't drop them lower because they beat Oklahoma. So
no, the Texas thing is fascinating because are they going to reverse engineer this to get a three-loss team in? And Texas's argument backwards will be, if we had played Ohio, sorry Reese for taking the strays, if we'd played Ohio instead of Ohio State, then we're in. So you're punishing us from going to the now current number one team in the country to open the season, and we're being punished for that. So that will be the argument that they will make. You're right on A&M, and it's not their fault, but the best team, they have the winner of Notre Dame is their best win. It's in South Bend. That's one of the best wins in all of the sport. But other than that, like, it's not their fault, but like LSU wasn't great this year. Missouri wasn't that great this year. Florida was down. Auburn, they didn't have to play Alabama and Georgia and Oklahoma. They do get Texas on Friday, and that one I will have all eyes on. I can't wait to see that one.
We'll round out the top 10 real quick. Number 8, Oklahoma. Number 9, Notre Dame. Number 10, Alabama. BYU's in at 11. Miami moves up to 12. Utah's down to 13. Vanderbilt's at 14. Michigan jumps 3 spots after beating Maryland to 15. Texas jumps up a spot to 16. Higher or lower for the Longhorns at 16.
Yeah, there's a lot here. I wanted to ask you guys this. Do you think that Notre Dame now, it's now impossible for them to host a playoff game?
I don't know about impossible.
They're 9. Like, I mean, barring chaos. So I know this. NBC's summer lacrosse coach plays for Notre Dame. And I was talking to him last night, and he said that their school pushed it back a week so that they could be in session for a hypothetical home playoff game. So they're in school that week leading up to the 20th or whatever it is, that Saturday. So they are anticipating a home playoff game, and they're sitting there at 9. So that's something I'm watching a lot. I think Alabama at 10 is crazy, too. I think they're better than that. But that is what it is. So I think Notre Dame's an interesting one. How they rig the bottom of this after next week is going to be fascinating. You asked about Texas. I'm fine with Texas being ranked where they are. I don't know if Texas is better than USC. Are they the best three-loss team? Those two teams are both a little bit flawed. The other three-loss teams are Tennessee, Arizona State, SMU. I like the Ponies a lot, not just because I like them, but also I think the way they've been playing for the last month. So I do think that I'm fine with Texas being where they are. I think the Tennessee thing is something to watch because Vanderbilt plays Tennessee this week, and they could get a big data point if they get a win there.
Just real quick, when you ask about a Notre Dame home game, I do think if BYU is able to beat Texas Tech in the Big 12 championship, it would throw two Big 12 teams in there. And then I wonder about your Ponies. If they, in fact, get the path laid out for them for the ACC championship, they're only getting one ACC team in.
They'd be the one.
Right.
So that's anytime I see this bracket and I see Miami in there, I'm like, I don't know how they're going to get there, barring just complete chaos. Because Miami would really, my buddy of mine's a Notre Dame guy, and he was like, what I'm worried about is Notre Dame becomes a spot below or a spot ahead of Miami, that Miami beats Pitt and they move up to like 10. Now all of a sudden you have to compare Notre Dame and Miami, and doesn't that game have to matter? And I think there is a valid point there.
I think the committee has proven, though, they just like Notre Dame more.
They do, but they did talk about if they ever get to the same area.
If they've got to do that
Notre
one
Dame's
game.
Notre Dame's 9 yeah. and Miami's 10. Like, they're closer. Miami's now up to 12. Now it's only three spots separating them.
That's bogus. Then you have them there now. If you're going to do that, then you do it now.
Well, they got get another data here. Point, though. They play Pitt.
Stop. Pitt's garbage. They lost to West Virginia.
I agree. I'm just telling you.
Come on.
Like, that's what they can do whatever they want.
I know. You can tell this is how much I love this when we're talking about three lost teams. You know this is my favorite thing. It just riles me up more than traffic in the morning. So I don't care about these three lost teams.
It's pretty. I don't either, but it's going to be pretty interesting to sit there from the Miami perspective and say, hold on a second. We beat them, and we're out there in. If Pitt beats Miami, then it's done. You don't have to worry about any of it, and that's probably what Notre Dame is hoping for a little bit. Former Buckeye great Matt Finkus joins us, one of the original Silver Bullets, of course. He joins us in 2 minutes, Bishop and Friends, right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
It is the first Friday. We'll get you the officially endorsed. Your apple pie bourbon recipe coming up at the end of the show. A man who is just as sweet as apple pie bourbon is our next guest. He's our good buddy, Matt Finkus, an OG Silver Bullet entrepreneur here in town. And he joins us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. You're a Pickwick kid, man. What were your first memories of Ohio State, Michigan?
Oh, man. You know, this is a funny thing, Bo. Like, you know, growing up, I was not a huge football guy. I was a wrestler. Yeah. So, I mean, I actually got found by Ohio State football by coming to a game with the wrestling team as a recruit. So, you know, it wasn't a huge thing for me. You know, my dad went to a small school, you know, played at Wilmington College. So we were never really that ingrained with the Ohio State Michigan thing. So really my first kind of experience into it was my freshman year.
And the experience.
And that wasn't good. Obviously, it was 93. We lost. Yeah.
It was not good. But what do you remember about that week, buddy, of leading into that?
You know, I mean, it's palpable, right? I mean, it's a different feel. It's a different intensity that, like, everything changes. And, you know, I know that they've done a lot to kind of take away a lot of the things like the band coming in and senior tackle at the time and everything, but everything happened that week back then at the same time. So including, you know, getting ready and preparing for the biggest game of the season, you know, you're doing all these other ancillary things and stuff, which were part of the tradition of it. But, you know, you could just tell, like, the tradition of what was happening in it. At that time, obviously, you know, Coop was yet to win one. I think he was 0-5 at that point and coming in. I mean, and it was just rough. And, you know, the former players were coming in and talking to the team and, you know, with a lot of emotion and stuff. And you just really got the feel of kind of what this was. I mean, obviously, you know, being from Piqua, the Piqua-Troy rivalry was a really big deal. So I kind of got a little bit of sense of kind of like the intensity of it. But, you know, the magnitude of it is huge, and it still is to this day. Now, is it going to stay with the new system and what's going on and, you know, in the playoffs and everything? I don't know. But for right now, like, let's keep enjoying it as being the bitter rivalry and as intense as it is.
What do you make, like, and you mentioned, like, some of the changes that they've made, and they kind of treating it, you know, Ryan had his normal availability on a Tuesday instead of Monday. Always used to be on a Monday. Like, these little changes that they're making. What do you make of all of that stuff outside of it? And you lived it with Coop, and I know Coop really well, did coaches show with him for years, and I know he tried a bunch of different things, and sometimes it's just bad luck, it's just circumstances, who the heck knows? But what do you kind of make of how coaches handle all the distraction?
You know, every coach handles it differently, right? And I think that, you know, what Ryan is doing now, you know, I think they've learned. You know, they've learned from last year more than any other year. I think when you look at the previous three seasons when Michigan was cheating, you know, honestly, I've talked to Ryan about this. Like, they were befuddled. Like, I mean, and honestly, and like, for people that don't understand how significant that cheating scandal was, I mean, like, they were just like at a loss as to why this was happening and how these guys knew what was going on and all these different things. But last year, I think, was a real turning point for him, because that's a game where the pressure got to the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. The pressure got to the coaching staff, changed the way they approached the game, changed the way that they made adjustments in the game, changed the way that they coached the game. That filters down to the players, and they become tight, and they become, you know, really kind of take on the personality of the coaching staff. And after that, having that team meeting afterwards and kind of realizing what they did wrong with that approach, I think was a really, you know, I mean, not just a light going off for the playoff run, but I think, you know, looking into this season and saying, like, hey, here's how we're going to do it. We've got this system. We're not straying from it. Right. You know, I mean, we're going to do this the way that we've laid out, and we believe in what we're doing, and this is how it's going to go. And people have criticized them for the pace of play, for, you know, the different kind of aspects of the game, but they're sticking with it because they believe in what they're doing, and they're not going to change it. So I don't think that we're going to see much different from this team on Saturday than we've seen all year, because for them, it's execution. It all comes down to execution for them at this point.
What was 94 like?
That was a great one, right? I mean, you know, but the pressure was there too. I mean, and I think if Ryan doesn't win the national championship last year, this right now would be eerily similar, because I think you would have a chopping block just sitting under Ryan's head right now, where if they lose, he knows he's done. I think we know that was the case with Coop in 94. I mean, there was no secret. You know, there was no social media back then, but there was plenty of other media, and we saw it everywhere that, you know, if we didn't win that game, Coop was gone. You know, the coaching staff was gone. Everybody that, you know, had recruited us, who brought us in, who we, you know, blood, sweat, and tears with for the past years, they were all going to go home and be fired, and we were going to be stuck with, you know, whatever came in next. And so, there was a ton of pressure that game, but I think that it was also like in those situations, it's almost a little freeing, you know, it's almost a little just, you know, able to go at it. You know, I think we were ranked maybe 22nd or something like that. I think Michigan was in the top 10 or something, and it's just freeing, and it allows you to go out, play fast, play loose, and just go after it and get it. And it was a great day, you know, had some big plays in the shoe, and everyone just came together and rallied around it, and couldn't have been happier for Coop at the end of that one too.
Do you and your buddies ever talk about what a 12-team playoff would have done for you?
All the time. I mean, literally, I was talking with Kevin Griffin yesterday, who, you know, Kevin's the associate AD at OSU, and we're talking about some unrelated things. And we just, you know, obviously we start talking about the game and stuff, and we talk about, you know, how the significance of the game could change, really, with what the system is. I mean, Kevin's like, you know, hey, we can play Michigan three times in a season at this point. with the current structure. I mean, but so, I mean, do you lose some of that? And then he's like, man, you just, I mean, if you think of just my years, 93 to 96, two of those 3 years, if not three of the four, were in the playoffs.
Yes.
With pretty damn good shot at winning, I would say.
Yes.
I mean, maybe not 93, because that was Nebraska, and they were a pretty big juggernaut back then. You know, 94 was Penn State, and, you know, and they put it on us. But 95 and 96, I would put us up against anybody in the country.
Well, 96, I mean, that would have been that Florida team with Werfel. They played Florida State in a rematch. Actually, you would have probably played Florida State in the national title game in that game in 96, because Florida State had beaten them, and instead you got the rematch of those two teams. So yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of that. I know you watch this team very closely. It's remarkable how good they've been. I think they've covered all but twice all season. Great teams cover, right? Good teams win, great teams cover. They've handled their business. Yep. What do you want to see from this team on Saturday in terms of approach?
I want to see them come out and play the exact same way they've been playing all year, but just with a greater focus and a greater intensity that's going to come with this game. It's going to come naturally with it. I don't want to see them doing anything different. I think the defense is playing at an elite level. Those two inside tackles, I think, have developed into huge run stoppers for us. With Matt and what he's doing with that defense, and having Caleb and Sonny in there as coaches on the field, really the sky's the limit with those guys. They're just so good, and they can do so many different things to confuse you. And, you know, I mean, I played in the Belichick system for a little bit. I mean, and that's what it is. It's taking the talent and molding a system around that talent. And then, I mean, you know, there's not a cooler customer in college football than Julian Sain. I mean, say what you want about him, and I think he's just probably the most underrated football player in America right now, which is hard to say because he's really, really good and gets some press. But, I mean, he's unflappable. He doesn't get flustered. I mean, he's a freshman. He misses some throws here and there. But, man, he comes right back and hits the next one. And the running game is developing. This team doesn't need to do anything over the top to win this game or to win really any other game they play this season. They need to go out and just play their game and execute, and that's what I want to see on Saturday.
Buddy, tell the folks a little bit about the app that you've developed and the start that you've had to it this fall.
Yeah, I mean, it's been great so far. It's called Behind the O. You can download it in your app store, whether you got an iPhone or Android. Behind the O, and it takes people behind the scenes of student athletes. I mean, it's not just football and basketball either. We've got, you know, wrestlers and lacrosse players and gymnasts and golfers and kind of the whole spectrum of sports. But it gives people a little look inside what these kids do on a daily basis, just hanging with their friends, hanging with their teammates, what they're doing in their off time to prepare, to recover. You know, this is some of the craziest things is what these kids eat, you know, calorie count to keep them going and working out throughout the day. That's some of the stuff that we get the most reaction with. But it's, you know, in this era where, you know, we can give fans access to some really exclusive content and generate some Google ad revenue. I mean, this app is totally free. It costs fans zero. They get on and they scroll for a couple minutes each day. That generates ad revenue that we can, you know, get back to these kids and help them out as they're, you know, going through this college football or college sports experience, you know, because not everyone is getting these multi-million dollar deals and stuff like that. So, you know, yeah, I mean, it's great for, that's why we got Jerry Rudzinski's son, Ryan, who's doing it for us. You know, Ryan's a walk-on special teams guy. He's great. We got Gabe Cups on it as well. You know, so, I mean, we've got just a lot of kids that are having a blast with it. And it's a really fun content, and I think fans are loving it more and more. So, yeah, if you haven't downloaded it yet, go to the App Store Behind the O and check it out today.
Great stuff, buddy. Always good talking to you. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Yeah, man. Happy Thanksgiving. Have a nice bourbon on me, bro.
You can count on that. I need it to get through it. We'll do a little thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have three more seconds. Bye-bye.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Hello, Big Voice Guy here. I've been hired to tell you all about the Fan's YouTube channel. Did you know you can immerse yourself in Buckeye goodness like Austin and Burb's daily podcast, The Beat? Yes, sirree, Bob. Subscribe today.
Our clients,
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a first Friday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
On Tuesday, NFL reporter and Shedeur Sanders enthusiast Josina Anderson reported there are at least two NFL teams that have interest in talking with Bill Belichick this offseason. Anderson said a third team could also enter the mix, with Belichick still having, quote, deep respect from a number of owners across the league. Belichick, in a statement about a month ago, says he will not pursue, quote, any NFL coaching vacancies. His Tar Heels are 4-7 in the first season with Belichick. They'll wrap the season Saturday night at NC State. Thing or not a thing?
This feels like a little bit of a plant to me. Isn't he 73? I don't know. I think if Atlanta didn't hire him the last time, I'm not sure that anybody would. This does allow me to talk about something we have not talked about yet here on the show, and this is the idea that his girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, is part of a professional cheerleading team?
Adult cheerleading.
Of adults?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, that's a choice, right? I mean, that is a hell of a choice. And just think about how much he loves her. He went and watched. Like, I would be embarrassed. Even if I was, like, in my late 20s, like, and, oh, what are you doing? Oh, I got a girlfriend. What's she do? Oh, she's an adult. She does adult cheerleading. Oh, do you mean, like, she's a cheerleader for, like, you know, the Browns or the Bengals or the whatever? No. She goes to competitions and cheers. Okay. That's a choice.
It's just the gift that keeps on giving, isn't it?
Unreal. It's unreal.
I don't think
it's all totally normal.
I don't think this is a thing, and I don't think this is a surprise either. We know how it is, and the NFL likes to recycle coaches, and Belichick may be the best to ever have done it. So, you know, people might have some interest, kick the tires, and it doesn't surprise me that maybe Belichick would want to go back because college certainly has not worked out the way he thought it would.
He would go back if he had to crawl from Chapel Hill to coach the Giants. He would go. Like, you think he likes this? College sports? It's a mess.
This actually came down last night, and I forgot to put it on the show sheet, but I will put this to you guys now. We talked about the OHSAA voting in favor of NIL at the high school level. Yeah. A new bill proposed by an Ohio Republican lawmaker would revoke that NIL bylaw. So this is State Representative Adam Byrd proposed a new legislation that states high schoolers cannot participate in NIL deals. Thing or not a thing?
Yeah, I love when politicians waste time. This is an elected official. It's an elected official. And he's going to waste time with this? Dude, just look at what's happening at the national level. You do something like this, you lose in court. Stop wasting our time. You can't put this genie back in the bottle.
Where is Mr. Byrd from? Like, where is his jurisdiction that he represents? Because this is a thing because he needs to go bye-bye. Because he obviously has no understanding of government and the legal system and all of this. Because as Bo said, all of these things are losing in court. This dude is tone deaf as to what is going on in the world. So the people that voted him in need him to go away because he's no good for them.
He's just wasting time.
So New Richmond's in the southwest corner of our state, just right outside of Cincinnati on the Ohio River.
Okay.
From the For What It's Worth department. A friend of the program, Amanda Kristovich of Front Office Sports, says college athletes will not be allowed to bet on professional sports after all. The NCAA received a two-thirds vote from Division I schools to rescind a rule that allows players to bet on professional sports. So back in late October, NCAA committees, which we love, voted to allow college athletes to bet on pro sports without penalty. That would have taken effect on November 1st. Then that NBA betting scandal happened with the FBI, and the NCAA's Division I board paused the decision. Implementation of the rule was postponed until November 22nd while that voting took place. Overall, Front Office Sports says about 80% of Power Conference schools reportedly requested to void that rule, allowing players to bet on pro sports. Thing or not a thing?
I'm kind of the point with anything that the NCAA does of just saying, like, okay, how are you going to police it? I mean, that you have to be reminded sometimes that they never really had an army of Pinkertons that were investigating anything anyway. It was always the media that did the investigations. It was newspapers. It was television shows. It was, in later times, online or podcasts that was investigating wrongdoing. It wasn't the NCAA. You had to, in media, you would uncover the wrongdoing, and then the NCAA would investigate what you had uncovered. That part's gone. The old traditional investigative media is gone. So who in the hell is going to police this? It's not a thing to me because I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me if they can bet on it or not. I don't think it changes anything. I don't think that all of a sudden making it to where they can't bet on it is going to change anything in regard to throwing games or point shaving or any of the things that they're all worried about. I just don't know how they're going to police any of it.
Yeah, this isn't a thing, Bo, because as you mentioned, there's no policing of it. Who cares? What I don't understand, though, is what did the NBA betting scandal worry them for? Because they're not allowed to bet on college sports, so how are they going to get into, even if they get into the same situation that some of these NBA players did, if you're not allowed to bet on college sports anyway, right. Like if they're throwing the college sports, it's still the same. They're still wrong. So I don't understand, like, why what happened in the NBA makes them rethink what they were doing.
Yeah, good point.
Let's do a little bit of a chaser here. So Edna High School's Mason West, he was the number 29 overall pick by the Blackhawks back in 2025, made a dream come true last Friday night. He won a Minnesota high school football state championship. The 6'6", 218-pound hockey forward slash quarterback completed all seven of his passes for 78 yards and two touchdowns as his Hornets rolled to a 42-35 win over Moorhead for the Minnesota State High School League 6A state championship. 24/7 Sports says he's the 13th-ranked football prospect in the state of Minnesota. He already led Edina, to an MSHL state championship in high school hockey. He can now add that football state championship to his list of growing accolades before he goes to the NHL. Thing or not a thing?
It's an awesome thing. Good on the Blackhawks for letting him do this. So cool to say, yeah, man, go. We got your rights. This is a first-round pick. And they said, yeah, go ahead. Play for a state championship, and he did. That is really, really cool of Chicago. Very cool.
The first thing I thought of when I read this story was threes, mm-hmm. playing football and hockey in high school, yeah. and hearing the stories when he was on the show with you guys before. Yeah, this is a really awesome thing. Some dudes are just blessed, right? Like, not only is this guy 6'6", 218 pounds, yeah. but he's really good at sports, good enough to play two of them like that. That's really awesome.
Yeah, very, very cool story. I'm glad you got that one in there. Final hour here on the First Friday, your big officially endorsed coming up at the end of it. We'll do a little Hey Guys coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
It's rivalry week, and dare I say the most rivalist one ever. Me Talk Pretty.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan.
More than a few of our...
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car... maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Casting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The Blue Jackets are back on home ice, looking to put a halt to a two-game slide. CBJ hosts the Maple Leafs tonight at 7. You can hear it on The Fan with pregame coverage at 6:30. Jackets defenseman Zach Werenski left Monday's loss in Washington with an upper body injury. Werenski spent time on the ice this morning, but remains questionable for Wednesday, as does Kirill Marchenko and Matthew Olivier. Jackets are back on home ice Friday, hosting the Pittsburgh Penguins. In college football, number 1 Ohio State heads to Ann Arbor to battle number 15 Michigan Saturday at noon. Hear from OSU's head coach today at noon on the Ryan Day Radio. radio show. In college hoops, the Ohio State women's squad plays number 21 West Virginia in the Bahamas today at 1:30. You can hear that game over on the Fan, too. That's 1460 on the AM dial. This update sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling. Together to serve you better, scheduled today at thewaterworks.com. Breaking sports news when it happens on the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Movie reviews, sports discussion, and whatever the hell Reeser does. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour here on the first Friday. Get your apple pie bourbon recipe at the end here. Between now and then, time for a little hey guys, hit it fellas.
Nothing is off limits. Your participation is required. Just use the hashtag hey guys and ask anything you want. Do it now.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Dive, drink, distill at High Bank Distillery Co. Learn more at highbankco.com.
And the winner here gets $50 in gift card from our great friends at High Bank at a free distillery tour and tasting for up to 10. Home of the best blended whiskey in America, 3 years running. Did you see their silver bullet bottles they did with 11 Warriors? Good night, nurse. Are those gorgeous? Little birdie told me we got something special coming with them here in the next couple of weeks. So be on the lookout for that as well.
Oh, baby.
Taking very questions exciting. On Twitter at 971BFS or in the YouTube chat. We'll start with Jay on Twitter, who asks, hey guys, who has the superior Thanksgiving episode, Seinfeld or Friends?
So I'm more Seinfeld than Friends anyway. I mean, I viewed those two shows. Seinfeld was, I think, is maybe the greatest thing that's ever been put on television when you factor in the degree of difficulty. Like, the fact that they got that done while doing 20-some episodes a year, while having FCC over them. I mean, it's not like LD doing Curb Your Enthusiasm, where he could do it whenever he wanted. Like, he had to do 20-some episodes every year for all those years they did it. So, I'm trying to remember, because didn't, in those days, like, the sitcoms on the major networks, they would all do Thanksgiving episodes every single year, because it was part of Sweep. So, like, when he asked the question, I wonder, like, what Friends Thanksgiving episode is it? And then, is the Seinfeld Thanksgiving episode, I mean, I remember the one where Kramer was a turkey, but was that when he was putting butter on himself? And was that Newman getting an eye on him? Where Newman was thinking, I'm trying to remember what the Thanksgiving Seinfeld episode was. That he's referring to.
With regards to Seinfeld and Friends, I can offer zero help.
Yeah.
So, I was never a Seinfeld person. Like, I don't think I ever watched Friends or Seinfeld much when they were live on NBC on Thursday nights. And obviously, you've picked up reruns over the years. I've seen more Friends reruns than Seinfeld, for sure. It's just Seinfeld's just nothing I never watched, so I don't really remember anything from Thanksgiving in Seinfeld. And Friends, I vaguely remember anything. Usually, if I was watching Friends, it was because a girlfriend had it on, and I wasn't paying attention much. So, yeah, I'm not much help here either.
You're missing out on Seinfeld. That's incredible. It still holds up to this day. So here is the Seinfeld episode. It's called The Mom and Pop Store. Jerry is desperate to know if he's invited to Tim Watley's Thanksgiving Eve party. So, okay, now I'm remembering all of this. He shows up uninvited. Elaine enters a contest to win a spot holding a Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade for Mr. Pitt. That one, now I got it. This is the John Voight car one. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, that's a good one. Seinfeld wins. Seinfeld over Friends always.
We'll stick with Twitter. This one from Snagglepuss. Hey, guys. Give me three things from your sports Christmas wish list. His examples. Number one, Kyle Schwarber signs with the Guardians. Number two, Shador turns out to be the quarterback the Browns need. Number three, Ohio State becomes the first ever three-time football national champion. He ends it with Happy Thanksgiving. He'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, some good ones there. I think for us here locally, like, you know, somehow the Blue Jackets acquiring Connor Bedard before Christmas would be a lot of fun to have him on the roster. In terms of realistic, the one he hits with Shador is the most realistic because that changes everything for that franchise. If he is a franchise quarterback, then because they're their rookie class is really, really good, and they could potentially flip this thing in a hurry if he hits. The one that historically I would enjoy the most is if this team went undefeated and did it back-to-back, because I am a fan of seeing things that haven't been done or seeing things that are rarely done, and that would check those boxes. So, like, to be the first team to go, like, 16-0 and win back-to-back national titles, that puts you in a pantheon of the sport, and it's within reach, as crazy as all of that sounds, puts you in a pantheon of the sport that very few have occupied.
So my number one is Kirill Marchenko hoisting the Stanley Cup. My number two is the Cleveland Browns have a starting quarterback that can start for them for the next 10 to 15 years and maybe give them the Lombardi Trophy. And then because it's this week, I think I have to say a win over Michigan. If I get an extra one, an Ohio State basketball national championship in my lifetime would be pretty darn cool to see.
I'm just going
to
go.
If you had to pick one, Reese, before you go, most likely the Blue Jackets win a Stanley Cup, the Browns win a Super Bowl, or the Buckeye basketball team wins a national championship in your lifetime. How would you rank those?
Hold on. Say that again.
Blue Jackets win the Stanley Cup, Browns win the Super Bowl, Buckeye basketball wins the national title.
3-1-2.
So Browns number one, most likely?
Oh, no. Browns are the least likely of those three
Browns
scenarios.
Browns three.
Yeah.
Blue Jackets two.
Yep.
And basketball Buckeyes one.
Yeah.
Least likely to happen. Yeah, I got to say the Browns. Just because. Actually, no, that's not right. I think Ohio State winning a national championship in basketball is probably the least likely, because I think Ohio State is always going to have their, in this NIL world, their funds are going to be more skewed towards the football team. So I think it's going to be harder in basketball when you have blue bloods out there that are putting more of their money into basketball. So I'd say basketball is the least likely. Probably the Browns next, and then the Jackets. I hope the Jackets are the most likely to happen.
I would probably go Browns, Jackets, Buckeyes would be the way I would do that. In the NFL, if you get the quarterback, and I know they've been looking for it since Bernie, but like if you get that, like it can happen pretty quickly.
I just think with the Buckeyes, I've seen it in my lifetime where they've been a national championship contender, how they've played in national championships.
Yeah.
You haven't seen them win it, though.
I haven't seen the Browns in the AFC Championship, and I haven't seen the Blue Jackets make it past the second round.
None of them are very likely.
Mills asked.
Don't do that on a holiday week. Don't say
Not in the near future, anyway.
Don't do that on a holiday weekend.
Buckeyes are probably closest in the near future.
Mills asks on YouTube, hey guys, if I'm not going, do you prefer watching the game alone or with a group of friends / family?
I will watch with my family, the boys and I, and we'll all watch. I can't do parties for the game. I enjoyed covering it in the press box a lot. But since I don't cover games anymore, I can't, like my wife sometimes will be, do you want to go do a part? No, I don't. I need it to be as climate controlled as possible. There will come a point, I'm sure, on Saturday, especially if it's nervy, where I will leave the room. Like we'll watch it in the basement with the three TVs set up. I will leave the room and I'll go to my office and close the door and watch it by myself. Like that's my process, for better or worse.
I'm the same way. Scotty Vegas is bugging me. Hey, you're coming to the casino Saturday. I'm like, I can't do it. I cannot. Yeah. Games that I really, really care about, I only have certain places I want to watch it, maybe certain people I want to be around. And like you said, if this game gets nervy at all, I am not going to be a pleasant person to be around. You're not going to want to talk to me. So, yeah, there's a good chance I'm sitting in my house by myself watching this game Saturday, and I am perfectly fine with that.
Same.
There might not be enough time in this segment or even in the program today. Chris asks in the YouTube chat, hey guys, can you give us a bit of background on how First Friday started?
Sure. Started when I was in Tallahassee, and we had certain places that we went every day of the week. So Monday was AJ's. Tuesday was, doesn't matter, some other place. And Thursday was this place. And Friday was this place. And Saturday, you had a place where you'd go out every night of the week. And Wednesday would always sit there open. And as a kid, I always hated the idea of how to spell Wednesday. Like, I still remember as a kid, Wednesday, like how to spell it. So that annoyed me. And I'm just, and I thought hump day just sounded stupid. So I'm like, dude, let's just do two Fridays. You got a Friday on Friday. Let's just do Wednesday's first Friday. And I started talking to people in the television business because that's kind of where that's where I was at that time. And we just started talking about first Friday. It's a first Friday miracle. And the idea being behind it, like you go have a cocktail, treat it like Friday. Worst case scenario, even if you really tie one on, all you got to do is get through a Thursday and then you got another Friday. And it's truly been the way that I've kind of lived my life for 25 years now. Like, I, not that I always go out and like, and now that I have the kids, I'm not out boozing every single first Friday, obviously, but there is this mentality of if once I get to first Friday, the week's whipped. And that's kind of my view of it, that I view it as like, we're there, baby. We get through first Friday, you're good. You're on to the weekend. So that's where it came from.
Jeff Rimmer's middle half asks on YouTube, hey guys, what high school did you go to and what was your school's nickname?
Brady High School Bulldogs, Brady Bulldogs. Actually have the jerseys. I still have my high school jerseys. But the school doesn't exist anymore. It was rural Montana. And so as a lot of those big farms and ranches have consolidated, so too have the schools. So now they are the Brady Dutton Power Titans, I believe.
Wait, John Dutton?
Yeah. They're the Brady Dutton Power or Power Dutton Brady Titans in football, and they're the Brady Dutton Diamondbacks in basketball, or Dutton Brady Diamondbacks in basketball.
Made all those jokes about Yellowstone, and it's actually true.
It is. I mean, like the way that the family farms and ranches have gone away is a fact. Yeah,
I went to Grove City, so I am a proud Greyhound.
Bougie Reese.
Well, you know, you can't pick where you grow up, but I was privileged.
The Golden Bears.
But for Arlington. Yeah. Great parades.
You got great parades, buddy.
4th of July, none better.
You think what you'll see tomorrow in New York City is good? Check out Northwest Boulevard on the 4th of July.
Let's go, baby. It's all you need.
Is your chair out right now?
No, Baker. Okay. It's November. Come
I thought
on.
It was always there, like a park bench.
You gotta keep it in good condition. I can't have the elements getting to it.
Maybe taxpayer dollars took care of that.
That's right. Yeah. We got a winner. What about the, was it the Seinfeld Friends? Because then I got to relive John Voight's car. And I think the deal was that John Voight bit the pencil. And so Costanza was trying to get the dentist to compare the tooth marks on his arm because John Voight actually bit him. I think all of that happened in that episode. And that's a great episode. So who was the one who did that?
That was Jay on Twitter.
All right, Jay. Congratulations. You get the $50 gift card to our great friends at High Bank and the free distillery tour and the tasting for up to 10. Stop by High Bank's 3 locations. Grandview, Gahanna, Westville. Enjoy those award-winning spirits for your next happy hour. Make your reservations at highbankco.com. Drink local. Drink High Bank. Joel Klatt's going to be on the call for Ohio State, Michigan on Saturday. He had some thoughts on the best rivalry in all of sports. We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one, yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
Welcome.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
Ah, damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From
from the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy skies for most of the day today and plunging temperatures down into the 30s by the afternoon, but gusty winds will make it feel like we are in the 20s. For tonight, mostly cloudy with lows in the 20s, but with those gusty winds continuing, our feels like could be in the teens in some spots. And for Thanksgiving Day, mostly cloudy, mainly dry with highs in the 30s, but breezy winds will make it feel like we're in the 20s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Drop what you're doing unless you're doing nothing, then keep doing that. It's Rivalry Week.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
Go Bucks beat Michigan. Our top men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and we encourage you to get ready to play, win, and celebrate big at Siyata Downs, your ultimate Caesars Rewards destination. And with Caesars Rewards, you're going to earn every time you play, stay, dine, or shop. Not just here, but all over 50 Caesars Rewards destinations across the United States. From unforgettable getaways to incredible culinary experiences, members enjoy exclusive perks and benefits that make every visit worth it. Here at Siyata Downs, the excitement is nonstop. Take your pick. 1,700 of the hottest new games. Sip on award-winning craft brews at the Brew Brothers Micro Brewery or dive into Guy Fieri's Trattoria, home of the Out of Bounds 68-layer lasagna. And the energy keeps building. Siyata Downs has been chosen to host the prestigious Breeders' Crown in 2026, featuring 12 championship races. It's one of the biggest events in harness racing, and it's coming right here to Columbus. So come, experience the action, the rewards, the unforgettable moments they're waiting for you at El Dorado Siyata Downs, a Caesars Rewards destination where the rewards never stop. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966. Visit caesars.com/Siyata Downs for details. Joel Klatt has called how many of these now? I mean, it's been a minute since Fox has had the rights to this one. I remember the last one that Herbie and Fowler called and kind of everything that went into that. So they've called several of them in a row here. So it's been a minute. He knows it very well. And him and Gus are kind of the voice of Ohio State football from a national television perspective and have been for the last several years. He was on a radio show or a podcast in Birmingham, and they were comparing the Iron Bowl to the game. Here was Klatt's response.
If there is a rivalry that approaches the hate of Alabama and Auburn, it is this one.
Approaches?
Klatt, you haven't lived in this state. They live in separate states.
You guys haven't lived in that rivalry.
Klatt, they live in separate. They live in separate states. These are the same state. Same state here, Klatt. Smaller territory.
I mean, there are people that mumble in church if the pastor references this game the wrong way. Yeah.
Guys, I love you.
Oh, don't do this. Don't do this. Klatt, don't do this.
In the hemisphere of Ohio State.
Out of your mind. Lance, just because the Ohio State Michigan players don't have enough class not to fight, and Alabama's players and Auburn's players don't fight, don't give me this.
All right. No, I'm not discounting it. I don't want to discount it. I think it's phenomenal.
I mean, you did.
I love rivalry. I discounted it as compared to the greatest rivalry in sports.
So, here's the thing that Ohio State Michigan has never had to weather. It's never had to weather in any of our lifetimes, at least one of them not being great. All these other rivalries. I mean, like when I was in the South, Alabama wasn't Alabama. I mean, it was Mike Shula coaching Alabama, Dennis Franchione, like the end of Mike DeBose. I mean, some of those Auburn teams were nothing. Auburn's had 75 coaches. There's been plenty of Iron Bowls that didn't mean anything to anybody outside of that state. Not every time Alabama plays Auburn was it for the national title. In fact, it almost never happened. And I think that's why it went so nuts when they had that run where Cam Newton won it at Auburn and you had Alabama titles around it. Well, buddy, that's what this thing's been like for 50 years. I mean, go look at the 10-year war. 7 times they played were in the top 5 in the country, both of them. Like, look what we've had since 16, where we've had it 5 times where they're both in the top 5 in the country. Like, there isn't another rivalry in college football that has that type of national relevance, where even if you're not from here or up there, it matters to how you view your college football Saturday. So take our own personal bias out of it. Just go on the impact it's had on the national picture. There's nothing even close in college football.
It's interesting the Birmingham broadcasters said same state. And my retort would have been, yes, the Iron Bowl matters in Alabama. And that's about it.
I think there's probably some points in Alabama where the game that mattered more to them was the LSU game.
Yeah.
Over the last 10 or 15 years.
Probably.
Like, you know, I had Urban on, and at Florida, when he got that job, he's coming out of Zook, who was coming out of Spurrier, and they really had like four games that they had to win. You had to beat Tennessee, you got to beat Georgia in the cocktail party, and then you got to beat Florida State. Like, they had three of them that you had to win, and so how possibly could one of them be bigger than when you're here or up there? The only one you got to win is this one.
Bo, to your point about the teams being good in the game, this is from Big Noon Kickoff on their Twitter this morning. This Saturday will be the 50th ranked matchup between Ohio State and Michigan, the most of any matchup in college football history. Yeah. Next, Texas, Oklahoma, 44, USC, Notre Dame, 36, Bama, LSU, to the point you just made, 32 times. While you guys were talking there, I just went to Wikipedia and looked up the Iron Bowl and did some quick math. I counted 25 times. So half the amount of times that Ohio State and Michigan have been ranked on ranked, the Iron Bowl has been ranked on ranked.
And if you pull up, if you still have that Wikipedia page up, you'll see that they didn't always play. Auburn and Alabama didn't always play. There was a long stretch of time where they didn't play. There was a long stretch of time where the game was in Birmingham because Bear Bryant would not go to Auburn. So they played that game in Birmingham for a lot of years. But there's a big swath of time where they didn't play at all.
About 40 years from 1907 to 1948 where they did not play. And you mentioned recently they have not had a ranked on ranked matchup since the COVID season.
Yeah.
And the Iron Bowl is a massive college football rivalry, but for Ohio State-Michigan transcends the sport.
It does, yeah. And I think it gets it, the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry, and we'll get into this at greater length on Friday, but it's there. It's like Real Madrid-Barcelona. It's that type of – it's at that level. It's Yankees-Red Sox. It's, you know, for a certain time, Yankees-Red Sox was probably – the closest thing we could have when they were in the same division and you had to win the division to win the pennant. Although it was so lopsided, the Yankees won all of it. That's the other thing that's really cool about this one is it's a relatively even matchup. The wins and losses are pretty close. So that's another one that you got to have. That's why I always go back to the Real Madrid-Barcelona thing because they're both great. And it kind of all that matters is their games against each other.
When I think rivalries in sports, I think Ohio State-Michigan, I think Yankees-Red Sox, and I think Carolina-Duke. Yeah. And then when I think rivalries in college football, it's always Ohio State-Michigan number one. It's Red River number two to me. And then I think the Iron Bowl kind of falls in there in that third slot. Now you can throw Army-Navy in there, right? I don't know about USC-Notre Dame. I see the ranked versus ranked matchup there. I don't know if I consider that as much of a rivalry as I do Auburn-Alabama. But that's my order of rankings on rivalries.
So I think the Texas-Oklahoma one is closest. But the thing that I always think about that is it doesn't feel do or die because it's in October. So like, and it's at a state fair. So it's cool. Like I it's on my bucket list. Like I'm going to go to one. I'm definitely going to go to a Red River shootout at some point in Dallas. But because it's like at the state fair, because it's in early October, there isn't quite the sense of urgency. There's something about it happening at the end. Like the Florida State Florida game is incredible. And when I was down there, they were both humming. I mean, it was coming out of the end of that run that Bowden had. It was Spurrier into Zook into Urban. Florida had won national titles with Urban. They'd won them, obviously, with Spurrier, won one with Spurrier as well. So there was on the Florida State side, it was like, if you won that game, you'd go play for a national title. And the same was true the decade previous before I got there between Florida State and Miami. So there's a lot of these instances where like this one game kind of means so much to everybody. But it's for a snapshot of time. It's not 100 years. Like, we got the 100 years thing, man. Like, this has been going on for 121 times by the time you get to Saturday. You know? So that's, I think, what changes it. And the fact that they're always good, that's what changes it. Duke Carolina is probably close, especially in the old days when college basketball really mattered and you were watching every single game and guys were there 2 and 3 years. And you'd have, I mean, the amount of times like you'd see like, whether it be, you know, like Stackhouse and Wallace play against Duke 3 times or that type of stuff. Like those days are kind of gone a little bit. And I think college basketball has taken a little bit of a hit because of that. Well, that's Jody Shelley, best rivalry in the NHL. He joins us in 2 minutes. Jackets with a fun one tonight. They have the Leafs in town. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car. Maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, the fan. The gloves. It's Shelly time.
Sponsored by Midwest Cards. Experience collecting in a whole new way.
Hi, buddy. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. I got to give you Canadians some credit. I think you guys do it right. You get the October Thanksgiving, Canadian Thanksgiving in October, spaces it out a little bit.
I disagree.
Okay.
This is why, Bo. Okay. I love that this kicks off the holiday Christmas season. Yeah.
Okay.
This is really where, you know, everyone gets together and if you're fortunate enough to be with your families and enjoy a feast and be thankful, and then it just rolls right in to Christmas. Ours is a little too far away. Now, I will say, in the Shelley household in Alberta, the Christmas lights were up in October. So,
God bless them.
Well, my parents, yeah, they go against the grain. They don't follow the crowd. But here,
that's amazing.
It's up, and it's. I like that it's like officially.
Okay.
It's officially time to. Be thankful and then celebrate Christmas.
Is there a dish in Canadian Thanksgiving that we ought to work into American Thanksgiving? Or is it pretty similar?
Oh, boy. Is there a dish? Not in my circles. It's exactly the same.
Identical. They go turkey, too.
Turkey, boy, yeah.
Yeah, they love it.
Turkey and all the fixings.
Okay. Give me your game plan for a Thanksgiving first plate. What's on that first plate?
I am a guy that likes to touch it all. Okay. So the first plate has it all on there. It's about a 5-pounder.
That's right.
And then for some reason, I sneak back for another 1/2 pound.
You put a salad
I have
on there?
To go all in.
Any what? Sort of salad, or do you just forget it, don't need it?
I'll skip the salad on Thanksgiving. I think that I skip that. I go for the dense dishes, usually.
It's a good way to describe them. The dense dishes. Did you ever think about the fact that you never see turkey on a menu at a restaurant?
I don't.
Yeah, it's an inferior bird. That. Yeah.
It is, right? It's a special one.
Well, that's one way of putting it. This is one of my favorite Blue Jackets games of the year is the one tonight. It feels like we usually get a really cool opponent. We get a cool opponent tonight. The barn is it's almost like a playoff barn. This one, it just is such a cool one. You've been at a lot of them. You've played in them. Do the players look forward to it as much as the fans do this Wednesday before Thanksgiving game?
Yes, because it's special. There's friends and family in town. There's plans for tomorrow on a day off. You understand, everybody understands that this is a time that, kids are home from colleges, families are together. It's kind of the first break in the schedule for everyone. It's a great way to come in and enjoy it and kind of have the week is over as far as work and things like that. So I think that's the festive feeling in the building tonight. Plus, I remember back when I was a lot younger, they would say it's the biggest night out at the bars of the year. And that's you want to be a part of that. And you want to walk in there with a victory. So I'm sure the players are the ones that'll be heading that way after. Or, that's they want to have a little bounce, a little jump in their giddy up here tonight.
It is. So we do a thing here on the program called First Friday, where we do it year round to get you officially endorsed. It's the best First Friday of the year. I mean, it's the best. Everybody goes home. And what do you got to do? All you got to do tomorrow is get kind of like the perfect elixir if you've had too many, which is just, as you put it, dense food. And you just lay and watch football. Like, it's the perfect antidote. It's perfect in every way. So you have a great read on that, my friend. What are we doing with
Sunday? It's a Sunday in the middle of the week is what you're saying.
That's it.
The first Sunday, we'll call it today.
That's fine. Yeah, that works. What are we going to do with all these injuries, buddy? How much of this stuff do we need to pay close attention to? We're seeing it all over the sport, obviously, but it hit us on Monday.
Yeah, it's not ideal. Every team is dealing with, last time we saw the Maple Leafs, which was just a week ago, they had 7 regulars out of their lineup. And you're seeing it with a bunch of teams. It's a story. Every building I go into, first topic is the schedule. Second is the injuries. So, I think it's up to the team to manage kind of practice time together. I think they need to back off those things at this point. I really do. And I think energy is at a premium for guys that play over 20 minutes a game. And I think it's, everyone comes out of the gate, out of camp, and, points are important and, playing players high minutes and high situations important. But I think there is a lot to be said for teams that really manage the rest. And I think sometimes with travel, what the Blue Jackets have had a lot of, the rest is at a premium. So I like that Zach Werenski, first of all, we're thankful that he's in the lineup tonight because he did have something going on in Washington. But I don't mind that man having a couple days of no skating. I think that bodes well for him. And I think that that's something that needs to be a higher focus here with some of these higher players with bigger minutes is to say, you're not going on the ice. You're not going to the rink. You stay away. And, Torch used to do that extremely well. And there were some of us that were wondering, why aren't they practicing today? Well, this is why. And I'm not saying that's the source of the injuries, but I think fatigue and mental fatigue and situational and the more time you're out there in stressful situations, it's going to catch up with everyone at some point. So right now the Blue Jackets are going through it. The silver lining is Luca Pinelli gets to play his first National Hockey League game tonight against a team he grew up idolizing. And he's hoping Austin Matthews is in for the Maple Leafs, who is a player who is his favorite, So,
jeez, that's cool.
And he's going to play on a line tonight with Monahan and Sillinger. It's not a bad spot for a kid who played really well in junior. And that means that Chinnikov, he had an opportunity for one game, didn't take advantage of it, so he's back down on the fourth line. So there's a lot of moving pieces here. Kent Johnson moves up with Fantilli and Voronkov in that Marchenko spot. So these are guys that have been flying under the radar, and the Blue Jackets need to get going. So they get a chance tonight to see if they can make the impact that they think they can.
Another massive one, too, because these are all teams you're going to be dealing with at the end when it comes to who gets in and who doesn't, and the records are mirrored. You mentioned Matthews. Is there thinking that he could go tonight?
He could go. We're waiting here. We'll find out in moments, but when Craig Berube, the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, speaks, but there is a feeling that he could be in the lineup tonight around here this morning, so that would be good. Not for the Blue Jackets, for the Maple Leafs, but, it's always fun to see the best in the world playing here at Nationwide Arena.
Absolutely. What's your sense on the Marchenko severity of that injury?
I don't really have one. I feel like it's good that we heard Don the other night say that it's not long-term. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it was nagging, something that nagging gets to a point where you can't help the team. You can't get to your game. You got to back off. So, kind of a good week to do it. I mean, of course you want to play, but no game Saturday, no game Sunday, game Monday, it's a nice break on a weekend for these guys to have that, for him to have that little bit of time.
Yeah. It certainly is. Buddy, always great to have some of your time, especially this close to the holidays. Very thankful that we're able to talk to you as often as we can. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and going to be a fun one tonight at the Old Barn.
Yes, sir, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your listeners, and thanks for having me on. We'll talk to you Friday.
Big one.
Weekend coming up. Enjoy your day tomorrow.
All right, buddy. You too. All right, there he goes. A little bit of Shelly time on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Jackets and Leafs tonight at 7. I want to see Matthews play. Like, I know it makes it harder, but like, you like seeing the best players in the world, and he certainly is on that very, very short list. Jackets, of course, back at home Friday. This is my favorite one of them. The first Friday heading into the holiday, and then the actual Friday, they get the Leafs and the Pens. That's as good as it gets. Get your officially endorsed, which is the officially endorsed, and three things coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Daily Ryan Day Show is brought to you locally by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers and by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This is the Daily Show with Coach Ryan Day, brought to you by Safe Flat Auto Glass. When you look back at the Rutgers game last Saturday, it was another example of how your running backs as a group continue to have impact.
Well, they look fresh. I think they're helping each other out. They're running downhill and making guys miss. You can see several times we made the safeties miss in space, and that was a good thing. And I think all of them, like we've talked about all year, you know, the more they play, the more they're improving, the more they see things. I think they all have a lot of football ahead of them. I don't think any of them has reached their ceiling at all. So great to see that happen. I thought we did a better job in some blitz protection as well. James on the touchdown was well done. Bo came across on another third down. So, you know, all these guys are working hard to become complete running backs.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safe Light Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at SafeLight.com. Safe Light Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
Now, the officials have been talking for quite some time.
Alrighty, let's see what they have to say.
Upon further review, there is no penalty on the play. However, we have conferred and discovered that Bob, the line judge, has saved a boatload for his kids' college using Ohio's 529 plan. It is tax-free, accepted nationwide. Bob recommends we all go to collegeadvantage.com. First down.
Well, that's not entirely unexpected.
Haha, classic Bob.
At Ohio State, we are the Never Afraid to Innovate teams and the Improve People's Lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Ryan, we looked last week and saw how Caden Curry played, the big play that he had, but is this an example of a guy that is a senior, maybe playing his best football at the tail end of his career?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. He's made a lot of plays, and you know, he's been here, whether it's on special teams or on defense. He's got a high motor, just understands the game, just sees it. And he's somebody that, like you said, has become a huge contributor for us. A lot of production, and certainly we're going to need him here this week.
Okay, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut, aged steaks are a staple in Columbus, with three locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegance in dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Toyota Thon is on, and there's no better way to get in the spirit of the season than with a new Toyota. Now through December 1st, get 4.75 APR financing on any remaining new 25 RAV4 or RAV4 Hybrid. Or lease a new gas-powered RAV4 LE for $289 a month for 39 months with $36.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
After putting up with Dom DeBerry for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
Before we get to your officially endorsed, which is the officially endorsed, this from Trey Schaap, who, according to his Twitter, has been covering Arkansas since 96, voice of Little Rock women's basketball. He has a report, sources, Alex Golish has accepted an offer to be the next head coach at Arkansas. Of course, the Dublin native has been at USF and had a great deal of success. I've not seen any of the traditional college football people confirm this, but this is a guy boots on the ground in Arkansas with a decent following. It's hard to nail now. It used to be like you could tell who was verified, and then, but that's kind of out the window a little bit. But something to look for there as a Dublin native potentially taking that job at Arkansas. This coaching cycle is going to get nuts. Yeah, absolutely. In the next 4 or 5 days, by the time all these games go final, so. We'll see. Nothing confirmed by the big newsmakers in college football on that one, but something that is out there. Time for your officially endorsed. Hit it, guys.
Bishop and Friends present First Friday. Officially endorsed. Because everyone deserves two Fridays.
Sponsored by Hydrate Me Med Spa. Feel better, recover faster, live optimized with Hydrate Me.
You drink for the wrong reasons. My generation, we drink because it's good. Because it feels better than unbuttoning your collar. Because we deserve it. We drink because it's what men do.
Well, this is the officially endorsed, and this is the gift that keeps on giving. We do it every year at this time. It is inspired in part from the great Ramsey at 11 Warriors. He did this probably 15 years ago, and I saw it, and then I just made a couple of small changes, but big hat tip to him because that's where the inspiration came from. We've done it every year on this first Friday. I like Woodford Reserve for this. So I get a bottle of Woodford Reserve. I like the fact that you can see it kind of marinate in it over the course of the month. I'll pour three fingers out, and then we begin. And the first thing that you're going to want to do is you're going to take a Granny Smith apple. You can find one of the small ones. I think the tartness in those are actually even better. So grab a Granny Smith apple, slice it, peel it, core it, slice it very, very thin, and then put those into the bottle of the Woodford. Follow that up with one cinnamon stick. Some people like two. I'm a one cinnamon stick guy. I like the vanilla more than I like the cinnamon notes. So I just go one stick of cinnamon in there. Throw that in the bottle, and then finally two Madagascar vanilla beans, and then I slice them lengthwise. They're kind of gnarly looking things, but I slice them lengthwise with a very sharp knife to just kind of open up that vanilla to fully take on the bourbon and the bourbon take on the vanilla. Put it back, put the cork back in the top of the bottle, and wait until Christmas week, and the gift will be given to you then. It is your officially endorsed on the first Friday. Time for three things. Hit it, guys.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Sciota Downs. Your play, your perks, your Caesars Rewards spot.
All right, number one for me, I know the weather's going to get a little cold, but it always hits me when I see the snowplow guys come out and put the stakes on the driveway. When they did that today. And I went, okay, those aren't coming up until April. Buckle up, boys. Winter is here.
First thing for me, Bo, you had opened the show talking about Urban Meyer and his coaching career against his rivals. Yeah. I did some work throughout the program and found that Nick Saban in stops at Toledo, Michigan State, LSU, and then at Alabama was 18-10 against his rivals in the regular season.
That's not 26-3.
Nope. And that's probably we'd have to look for some other coaches that have had as many iconic stops, but I don't think it's close.
No, I think it would hold against anybody. I mean, maybe there's like a Newt Rockne against USC, something out there. But like, you'd have to find something like that. Like 26-3 against the games that matter most is nuts.
And as you mentioned, you had to go way back. It's nothing in the modern era of football.
No way. No
that's
way.
Even close Mm-mm. to that.
No.
We've talked a lot of football today. This is a football-heavy weekend. And, Bo, you have mentioned the state semifinals for the OHSAA football playoffs are this weekend. We've got three local teams, Olentangy Orange in Division I, Big Walnut in Division II, and Watterson in Division III, all looking to make it to state championships this weekend. I will make the long drive Friday night to Wapakoneta. That's Whoa. Where Coldwater takes on Hopewell Loudoun. You can watch those games, OHSA TV, the Spectrum website, or a Spectrum app if you're a Spectrum customer.
Man, how do you even get there? How far is that from here?
It's about an hour and 30 minutes from my house. It says 33. Go 33 and you'll get there.
There you go. Okay. All right, number two for me. I don't hate turkey. It's fine. It's just an inferior bird compared to what the other options are. So what Reese is doing is the correct thing. The whole roasted chicken is a superior bird. It's just that simple. But I hate pumpkin pie. Hate it. I hate the texture. I cannot believe that it is served every year. The thing I always, and this kind of applies to the turkey too. Have you ever seen anybody eat pumpkin pie without whipped cream or Cool Whip? Never. Because it's not good enough on its own.
I think we're doing a chocolate pecan pie.
See, you're winning again.
It is the dessert. And again, well,
you got your lady friend's a chef.
And she's a professionally trained chef from the CIA. So, yeah, I just do the hunting and the gathering. This one front of the program, Amanda Kristovich.
Hunting and the gathering.
Did some hunting and gathering the past couple of days. Giant Eagle, Aldi. I did the Littletons this morning. Texas Attorney General has come out against the College Sports Commission's participant agreement, which urged schools in Texas not to sign. A participant agreement from the College Sports Commission, which I don't know. This is your daily reminder that the College Sports Commission still exists.
What does any of this mean?
Second thing for me, I will be attending the Jackets game tonight. I know this is a big party night for all, so everyone, please be careful as you celebrate your holiday. This is also the number one weekend for house fires, so don't catch your inferior bird on fire. Make sure everybody is safe and sound. We want you back here Friday with us.
If you are going to deep fry that bird, make sure it's not frozen. Kids. For the kids out there. And it's not that much better anyway. I'm just to be honest with you. Save people telling you it's some sort of transformational situation. There are no transformational turkeys. Finally, number three for me, just a big Thanksgiving thank you to all of you who listen, who interact. One of the things we set out to do with the show is create a community and have folks all be part of it. And you truly are part of the friends that make it all possible. And I'm very thankful for the audience and the interactions that we've had through football season. And I wish you a very happy and healthy Thanksgiving with you and your family over the next couple of days. Enjoy it. This is an incredible sports next couple of days.
Yeah, second that. It's fun every day to interact with everybody in the YouTube chat. Just real quick for the Daily Fan Poll, which of tomorrow's three NFL games that you can hear all on the fan is going to be the best game right now? 50% of respondents say Packers-Lions will be the best game tomorrow.
There's a heck of a three-game slate to choose from there on that one. That music means the Ryan Day Show is up next, a day early because of the Thanksgiving holiday. Tomorrow, Rothman and Ice after that. They'll have Adam Schefter at 1:30, do a little hockey and hounds with Damon Severson at 2:30.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. We are back on Friday for the Football Friday, Bishop and Friends, right here on the Fan.
Finally here, Rivalry Week.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
We're talking about the Buckeyes and meat chicken all damn week. Join us, the Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call